you don't mind parking further away, your knees have a different opinion. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, safe, FDA approved, covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000.
We made it.
You know,
I'm whimpering.
I wonder how many people listening to us remember the scene in A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
And it's as they're getting ready to, the Beatles are getting ready, they're on stage, they're getting ready to do the broadcast.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting in place, and at the very last, literally the last second, Ringo sits down at the drums.
Yeah.
And they start the song.
So
that's what tonight is.
Yes, yes, yes. You know what? If you're at home and you don't have to go out, don't go out.
Stay.
So our
stay.
I imagine dogs all across America, yes, just responding. They're like, "Where's my treat?" Our half-hour trip, and if it is a slow trip, it can be 40 minutes.
Yeah, and we are usually every week we are here at least 8-ish.
Mm-hmm.
If the show starts at 9, we're somewhere between 8 and 8:15 or something.
We literally just walked in. We were sitting on Lakeshore Drive for 90 minutes.
And if
90.
You're looking for Johnny's pictures, she hasn't posted them yet because we were taking them of the horrible.
Oh, yes.
It started back.
We dropped anchor just about Lawrence.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got to Irving, we weren't moving. And then we thought, well, we'll get off and take surface streets. And then I looked at surface streets on the GPS, and they were just as bad.
And by the way, for those of you checking traffic from some alternate source, where they're giving you the impression that there's no backup northbound, are they wrong?
So imagine Diversey, the zoo, right? That very, very busy area. Now back that traffic all the way up to Randolph, all the way over the Chicago River. Yes, Bob is pointing, yes.
Right out the window.
And it is crawling all the lanes.
So Bob, we came southbound, you came northbound. What did you experience?
Well, today was Dia Dos of the Carol G concerto. Muy bien.
Sí.
Yeah. Traffic, muy mal.
Can we say that on the radio?
It's just bad.
Okay.
But this was, it was a horrible accident.
Yes, it was.
When we got to
Diversey.
Yeah.
But we could only see one sport utility vehicle that was still on the inside lane headed southbound. And then you had, at least three police cars on the northbound side blocking the two inside lanes. So,
by the way, I have nothing but respect
for
Chicago police officers.
Yes.
However,
uh-oh,
is it beyond the realm of possibility of thinking that since you have an area where you're closing off everything, you might want to send one police car down to the ramp to say, don't get on the drive?
Yeah, because that was part of the problem, too. Because every ramp...
Am I haranguing? Yes.
Well, that's okay. Harangue, harangue. So, Ron, have you heard anything about what was going on?
The only information that I have is that it's a multi-vehicle accident.
Right.
And that there's still a 68-minute delay. So it's getting better. A 68-minute delay on the DuSable Lakeshore Drive northbound from Monroe all the way out to Hollywood.
Wow.
So that's northbound at Fullerton Parkway is the information I have. Just a multi-vehicle accident.
Yeah.
So
now that's northbound. So what do we know about southbound? Because literally we were...
We were just sitting.
Yeah.
I took all kinds of great pictures of the
of
boats.
Things that you're never able to get pictures
right,
of.
Right, in the lagoon. Mm. Oh, and I took a picture of a family of coyotes. A whole freaking family of coyotes. But wait, when you see my picture, steps away from the family of coyotes are people. They don't know there's a family of coyotes just right around the bend. And they were frolicking in the grass. Not the people. The coyotes were
at least not that we saw.
Now, yeah. They'll be frolicking if they run up on a family of coyotes, because I think there were like a couple babies. So if somebody walks up on that, they're a pack, right? A bunch of coyotes are a pack.
I would think.
Or a
pack
bunch.
Or a coven or...
A bunch.
They're not yeah. crows.
A honk.
A bunch of coyote. Coyotes? Coyotes. Yes.
Coyotes, yeah.
Yes.
Coyotes.
So, and then also we heard from our guest who's going to be joining us in a little
yes.
while, Alice Wallace, who's coming in from the western
from
suburbs.
From Oak Park and on the Eisenhower. She said, oh my, it's not good out here either. Because yeah. I said, if you're taking Lakeshore Drive, leave now to join us later tonight.
So basically, really, sit, stay.
Yes. Ron, be happy you're in here.
I am already, yeah. So.
Oh, my. Well. And Jonathan, on the other side of the glass, you took transportation and you said Michigan Avenue was just really congested too?
Michigan Avenue, I don't think that was accident related. It's just kind of a hopping Saturday summertime yeah. shy type of day. So the foot traffic, the yeah. actual cars... It's all tied up. Everything's jammed by the loop.
Everything.
But I've never seen it quite this bad.
No.
Yeah, your photo you sent to me, it was a veritable parking lot.
Yeah.
And the fact that
yeah.
you sent one during the daytime and 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later,
it was dark.
It was already dark. I was like, wow.
Yes.
So if the listeners right now can't, I kind of wish that we were on like a live video feed so they can see the scramble to get in the seats and to get the buttons pressed and to get the voices on air.
I got to tell you, the most important thing was a pit stop at the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because I just kept drinking coffee all the way here, and they went, whoa, this is not a good idea.
And I kept thinking, I had thought about taking tonight off.
Yes, you did.
I really did.
Because
think about next week.
As at midnight, it's his birthday.
Oh, so, happy birthday.
So, happy birthday,
thank
boss.
You. So yep. so I was thinking, because I'm iffy about working on my birthday, but I thought, should I take it? Nah, what the heck?
So how many times do you think when we were sitting on Lakeshore Drive, he said, if I'd taken my birthday off, we wouldn't be sitting here?
Yeah, your point is.
I agreed. I'm like, really? Yeah.
But if you are out there and you're seeing anything we should know about, 312-981-7200, if you're stuck in any of that mess
yes.
and you want to give us a little update.
Right.
Fine.
Jonathan, anyone that checks in and says, yeah, I'm out here. And you don't have to be on Lakeshore Drive. If you're on the Eisenhower, if you're somewhere and you're just not moving and you want to tell us about it,
yeah.
Do.
Yeah, the information I have is that the accident on the Eisenhower inbound at the Byrne Interchange has been cleared.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not better yet, it will be getting better soon.
From your mouth.
Yes, to God's ears.
Allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So Bob, as you were coming in, what was the major slowdown that you saw?
Soldier Field?
Well, it's Soldier Field, so the Stevenson is backed up. Getting off the Dan Ryan onto the Stevenson was backed up. So I heard that Carol G was going to be here again tonight, so I used my... Lollapalooza alternate
your shortcut
route.
Yeah,
and thank goodness I also left a half an hour early, so
yeah.
I was here in plenty of time, but.
Well, we left a few minutes early because the bananas are at Wrigley,
right.
Yeah, and we were thinking, oh well, that's
yeah,
that's
but
what
then
the...
we figured, well, they that started right around 5, and 41,000 people were arriving probably at 2 or 3 in the afternoon to see the Savannah Bananas.
Let me jump to Mike, who is. Do we just lose
Mike? We just lost him.
Oh, fool. Mike was a limo driver. He was calling in, and he was going to give us an update on wherever he is. So, Mike, if you want to call back.
Yeah, he had mentioned the Savannah Bananas, who are also playing at Wrigley Field, were stuck in the same traffic.
I
mean, that's a big one happening in the city as well.
And you know it's bad when your banana gets stuck.
I hate when that happens. But think about it. If the game started right around 5, is the game over with Ron?
Yeah, that game is done.
Okay, so now you've got all that traffic dumping out into a parking lot for sure. Oh, man. Ron, if someone said you have tickets to see the Savannah Bananas at Wrigley, would you go?
If I had, yeah, if someone was going with me and they had tickets, they're a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, they had Kerry Wood out there on the mound pitching for him.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Zobrist out there last night?
No, I didn't see
him. He was on a bicycle.
Oh, my gosh.
Riding around, and they said, I wonder how the groundskeepers are going to feel about that.
Well, they get paid a lot, but they have a lot of fun, you know.
Yes.
So the crowds just absolutely love those games.
Oh,
they love the
gosh.
Guys. They know how to put on a fun show.
Well, obviously they are beloved because over 120,000 people will be seeing them this weekend.
That is so cool.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So if you are enjoying the fact that you just had a great time at Wrigley, you can give us a report, 312-981-7200. We're going to catch our breath, and we'll come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Sit. Stay. Don't move.
I feel like the night's going to zip right by. Don't you? It's already 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, no, it's not. Is that called...
Wishful thinking is what it's called.
I've lost my mind. That's what it's called.
We should mention, we mentioned our special guest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really tickled because we're going to get to meet and introduce you to a very, very talented woman. Her name is Alice Wallace. Pardon me, but I'm...
That's from yelling as you were driving. You lost your voice. Let me just go on record as saying you're not a yeller. I'm just kidding.
No, I speak very softly.
That's the scary part when you're you're so quiet.
So, I discovered Alice about 2 months ago from a post that she did about moving from Nashville to Chicago. I listened to some of her music, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked out that she's able to spend some time with us. She's also going to be telling us about, she's going to be doing a special, I believe it's a week from tonight at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
It is different.
We'll share that with you later.
Yeah. You'll want to hear about it because there's not a whole lot of people that do what Alice does, and we'll be demonstrating at the Old Town School.
And also later tonight, Dr. Patrick Crispin joins us. Boy, have we got things to talk to about him, including how OpenAI models broke out of a sealed digital room, crossed the open internet, and hacked into another AI company.
They're going after each other. It's like blood sport. This is the making of a really, really creepy movie.
It is.
When AI wakes up and it says, you know what? That guy over there is also AI. Well, we can take him down.
See, I immediately go to the Forbin Project, which was a movie that came out in the late 60s, and it had to do with these two mega computers that were set up, one in the United States, one in Russia, and they were allowed to communicate with each other. The premise being that you want to avoid any accidental wars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly they decided, we're going to join together.
Yep. Well, on that happy note, let's take a break and get an update on news, and we will be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Why aren't there any screams? Hot time summer in the city.
Well, actually, the past couple of days were actually very nice.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, so nice.
But this was the first day we had to close up the windows and turn the air on because it's going to get nasty couple of days.
It's going to get July again. And, we were very lucky the last few days. But we attempted to drop everything and go to the movie. I say we attempted... because there were no two seats together. We tried the latest showing. Nope. Then we said, well, we'll go at 10 o'clock in the morning. Nope.
We were trying to see Odyssey.
Odyssey and in IMAX. Sold out.
who was it? We were watching an interview with somebody.
It was on The Daily Show.
And they were mentioning that it is sold out through the end of August.
In New York.
In New York.
But we're lucky because I think we have more IMAX theaters in this area than they do in New York. That I have to believe that's the case because, you know, I looked at about four or five different ones. I was ready to, you know, drive out to the far western suburbs. But again, wheelchairs, there was seating for wheelchairs. There was seating in the first two rows. And there were random one here, one there, but no two seats together. So I said, well, this will die down, so I'll look a week in advance. No! Those were all sold out, too. Yeah. It's crazy. Julian's here because Julian is going to be doing some videoing for us tonight. And when you were in here last week, you said that you and Erica were going to see the movie. And you did yesterday?
Yep, we saw it on Friday. And it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was everything I expected it would be.
So you bought your tickets in advance then?
We saw it in the regular... the AMC Laser or something,
Laser,
I think.
Okay.
One of those things, something like that. Yeah. And so it wasn't that hard to get the seats, but when we looked at the IMAX, the only thing you can get is first row, second row.
I know.
Row,
yeah.
Something like that.
In fact, that was the case in one of the theaters we were looking at, and if we wanted to sit in the first row with IMAX, no.
Well, that would hurt. You know it would. And I love the fact we've seen Christopher Nolan interviewed a couple of times, and he always mentions the fact that he was at the then Museum of Science and Industry when he saw an IMAX movie as a teenager and said...
And that was
his inspiration.
What made him decide, I got to do this.
Yeah, I love that. And he always does a shout out, and I want to say, it's still the Museum of Science and Industry, even though it's the Griffin Museum. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I still call it MSI.
Of course.
Sears Tower.
As you're driving
Comiskey
to the Hancock.
Park.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Okay, are you ready for the story out of New York? Steve mentioned that we heard that sold out through the end of August at the New York IMAX Theater. So human nature is such that somebody said, well, I could grab a bunch of tickets and I could sell them. What do you think they're selling for?
$40, $50.
Steve, what do you think they're selling for?
Okay, are we talking the full IMAX experience?
Oh, yes, has to be IMAX, full IMAX.
Okay, full IMAX, I'm saying it's got to be well over $100.
$1,000.
Doesn't surprise me.
Here is a reseller listing a five-ticket bundle for an August screening. $7,000. Christopher Nolan better be sitting next to me for $7,000, right?
I better be watching that in Greece.
Right. That's it. You get a ticket to Greece, and then you get to see the movie. I couldn't believe that. I don't know that there's ever been a movie that has had tickets scalped. I can't recall.
I could be wrong, but I think the first Batman...
Really?
There was scalping
tickets. Because we saw that
I'm pretty sure.
Didn't we see that in IMAX at Navy Pier?
No, that was the
second
Batman.
One. And that IMAX theater is no longer operating.
Actually, the very first Batman was the one with Michael Keaton.
And we saw that down on Michigan Avenue.
Congress?
Yeah. Remember, that was a big night where they had Klieg lights out and people were all dressed up and it was a big night. But I don't recall them saying... You're lucky you have a ticket because they're going for $1,000.
I don't think $1,000, but I think they were being scalped.
I guess that shouldn't surprise me. There are only, again, reinforcing my theory that we're very fortunate to have as many IMAX theaters as we do. There are only 40 IMAX theaters across the globe. Mm-hmm. The entire globe that can handle true IMAX 70mm. And I've seen...
And isn't... it's in one of the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Woodridge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Woodridge. You know what? I'm not going to tell anybody.
The Woodridge?
The Woodridge.
I don't want them to know. I want to be there by myself. Don't... Turn your radios off.
No.
Sit. Stay.
Oh, my gosh. I saw a couple of videos where... Like a manager at a theater stands in front of the crowd And he explains to them what they're experiencing and why this is so different. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm not paying $1,000 for that experience, but that's kind of cool.
But I do remember when we saw the first IMAX movie at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Oh, yeah.
They did the same thing. They said, okay, here's the deal. Here's how it was filmed. And
But that was decades ago, and we didn't have them in our movie theater. So that was a really big deal. And it was like nothing I had ever seen before, and I got sick.
And it's the only time I've seen you fall up.
Yes. Because did you ever see an IMAX movie at the museum?
I don't think so.
Because they reclined the seats. So you're watching it on your IMAX screen.
So imagine a football, okay? The top of the football is the IMAX screen. The bottom of the football are the seats curving up.
So my impression of it always is IMAX, my first one I had ever seen, that was like a little kid, so it seemed steeper to me, was the first IMAX, I believe, was at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Like and you'll love this because my comparison is at the when they first built the quote-unquote new Comiskey Park.
Right. Uh-huh.
The upper deck was basically vertical. It was completely vertical.
Yes.
So that is exactly what the seating experience was like if you want to, like the 1991 Comiskey Park retrofit.
But if you can imagine, so there are those curved seats.
So you're reclined.
You're looking up at the screen. You're reclined. You're looking up at the screen. And on this IMAX, this first one, they had this shot where you're going over the Grand Canyon. It was just extraordinary.
And everybody's, ooh, and ah.
So then the movie's over. Johnny goes to get in. And you almost fell up.
I did. And I had to announce, because we were there with a bunch of listeners, I was not drinking. And other people said, well, I'm feeling sick. They had people there with meds if you had like car sickness, which added to the whole vibe of, ooh, this is something really different. And then remember, we were at Disney World. Was that IMAX or was that just 3D? Because we were sitting in a packed theater, and the show was airing, and then all of a sudden, people all around me, including Steve, are grabbing for these bubbles that are in.
That's because we went to, it was the Muppet Theater.
Yeah.
3D.
Yes.
So it wasn't a movie. You were seeing the Muppets.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, there are these bubbles, and Johnny said, oh, I'm not going to do that. That's just an effect.
You guys are so goofy.
And it was bubbles.
And then he grabs a bubble, and he flicks it over at me, and I'm like, whoa, they're real. Because I thought, I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not going to be grabbing at the... But it was real. It was pretty effective. A listener says they saw Fantasia at Navy Pier in IMAX in high school.
I wanted to do that. That would have been wonderful.
On a field trip, because we've only seen it on the small
Jonathan,
screen.
You're nodding. Have you ever seen Fantasia in IMAX?
Not in IMAX, but just the way Walt Disney pioneered that moving glass panning system, I could imagine would have been very impressive on IMAX.
And that was, I believe, it was the first movie, and there was only one theater, I believe, in New York that was able to show it in quadraphonic sound.
Ooh. Ooh, I had a roommate in college that had a quadraphonic stereo. It was very cool, let me tell you. Because we had four speakers.
I was going to ask, that was my next question. I was like, so do you have to put the, like, strategically place the speakers for the immersion?
Two speakers behind you, two speakers in front of you.
And in a little dorm room, there would be, like, 20 people standing or sitting in the middle of the dorm room going, oh, play Black Water again by the Doobie Brothers. Because it was like this extrasensory experience. And that was, everybody was straight too, even though, well, not everybody. But.
And we still have, in its original packaging, and I forget how much it's worth, the Elvis Aloha from Hawaii. There were only a limited number issued in quadraphonic.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's like hyper limited edition.
Yeah.
Well, we got it, right?
See.
We got it.
Here's the thing.
one of the rules of marriage that I have discovered.
Yes. Take notes, Julian.
The records, the guitars, all this stuff. It went from being my boxes of junk to our collection.
I have an awesome collection of guitars. I have a fabulous record collection, and I did have a 60-year comic book collection, but I decided that I would get rid of some of those.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, a listener says, how is IMAX different? Round Robin, how would you explain it different?
From the research and all the interviews I've seen, watched, and heard about, there's more on the top and the bottom.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have to have the right screen.
And also, depending on the screen, more around you, too.
It's wider and taller.
The aspect ratios are different, and the cameras that they have, those special IMAX cameras, you can only record film three minutes at a time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And they're crazy loud. They're incredibly loud where they had to do a special film. Like, they had to use mirrors so they had to do eye lines.
They had to build something specifically for Nolan for this.
A big box. Yeah. And then they realized that the box was so big to muffle the sound that if two people were in a scene reacting to each other, they couldn't see each other. So we'll just put a mirror up there.
They said it worked, too.
They said
it worked very well, and it was very effective, and they were, like, pleased with this new discovery, but that's always, like, innovation as you're filming, like, on the spot.
That's right. And how many millions of feet?
Didn't it say, like, somebody millions, like, 2.4 million
feet of
miles and miles and miles of film.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow. But, again, I'm very impressed with all of that, but not $1,000 a ticket impressed.
I will wait till September if I have to.
Yeah, really. I'll go to Greece on that money.
And I'm trying to think, how would you compare this? Because for someone who hasn't seen IMAX, it's kind of like if you look at the image you're seeing on your phone, now look at a humongous big screen. It's kind of that difference.
Okay, look at a sunset on your phone. Now look up at the sunset on the horizon. And then you're like, whoa, that's so much better. That's why a lot of times performers say, just put down your phone and look at me. Experience this. Don't be lost on that little 7-inch screen.
I do have to imagine, though, when IMAX was pioneered, because that came out before like widescreen televisions and high def.
Yeah.
So if you're going through this, you know, 14-inch box that you watch in your living room to IMAX, now that would be the difference between night and day, I would imagine. It's not necessarily less impressive now that the technology's caught up, but it's still really cool.
It is.
Okay, since I am approaching a birthday, I will date myself and
take
say
us in the Wayback Machine.
The first television we ever had.
Are you ready?
Absolutely true, because my dad...
Wait, get the kids to sit down.
Sit, stay. along with working at Southwork Steel on the South Side, my dad worked at night repairing TVs and repairing radios. One of the people he fixed a TV for said, you can have this TV. It was a circular 9-inch screen.
I love that.
9 bleeping inches.
That's how you saw Elvis on television for the first time.
It was.
Little tiny Elvis.
Yes.
And it still changed your world.
And your friends came over and probably said, oh, man, you're probably rich.
But then we were high tech.
Right, exactly.
No, beyond that, because we got this, you've fit it on the front of the TV, magnifying screen that also gave you the illusion of color.
Oh, wow.
We were so high tech.
Faces could be blue and hair could be green because it was just...
You told people your father worked for NASA.
Yeah. And they believed it.
Yeah. Yes. They're like, whoa.
After the TV thing, he's working on the Apollo program.
My dad made this movie. This is the raw cut.
Did you grow up with a big screen television, Julian?
Oh, no. We had those big box TVs from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
The big honking ones, yeah.
Real wood body too. We just like
the big Zenith consoles where it was a combination TV and record player and all that.
My grandmother still has one of those.
Those are so cool.
It's all wood.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! I just remembered that.
2 years ago, we got rid of ours, and it was still working, but it was the most beautiful oak cabinet. I mean, it was real wood.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it had 4 wheels on it so that we could pull it up away from the
wall. It was a big honking.
It was unbelievable, but it had such a good picture. It really was.
Well, but remember, we got rid of it because finally the picture just went.
And we cried. Yeah. Because all of a sudden you just went black one night. And we said, no.
And then the TV went out, too.
Yes. Okay. We got to take a break. And we will continue. Yeah. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. So we hope that you will stick around with us.
Stay.
Right here on WGN. Yeah. Well, speaking of losing power and bad weather that's inevitable, I'm looking here at the text screen. And a number of folks wanted to know how our house weathered Bertha, big old Bertha, rolled in a couple days ago.
And
I'm knocking on wood.
Knock on wood.
Oh, that hurt.
We have some wonderful neighbors that are nice enough to check on our house when we're not there. But we didn't have any damage. And honestly, we were kind of surprised as we were watching some of the coverage because the winds were roughly 40 miles-ish. Mm-hmm. Now, there was some flooding in some areas,
right.
And some of the worst damage was a little farther to the west as you get closer to New Orleans. But in the panhandle itself, there was some damage, and there were some closures, but knock on wood,
it's always
we got lucky.
Unsettling, though, when you hear that Jim Cantore is going to your town.
Yeah.
And you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a big one.
Be afraid.
One.
Be yeah. very afraid. Cantore is on his way.
And then to name it Bertha. I'm like, am I the only one that can't get the Bertha butt boogie out of my head?
I was just going to say that.
Ever since I heard that.
In fact, Jonathan, out of the news, out of the break, the Bertha butt boogie.
I will get that ready.
Every time I would hear a news story, I'd kind of chuckle. Like, wait a minute, this is serious stuff. Why am I chuckling? Stop that. But
thank you for asking.
Yes, thank you all for asking.
And fortunately, no, we didn't have any damage.
Yeah.
But again, I credit my dad, who years ago, when he bought this house and the land, it is not right on the Gulf. We are roughly about a mile
walking distance
from the Gulf. So
makes a big difference. And then we have the trees next to us that act as the buffer for those strong winds. And we're just on B. That means it's going to be a long hurricane season. Keep your fingers crossed, right?
Yeah.
Alphabetically, I mean, Bertha's just the B storm. I know, you just gave me a look like, oh, why are you telling me this?
I don't want to get to Zorro.
No.
Okay. I should shut up and stop talking and say the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, you don't get this kind of radio up and down the dial, boys and girls. The
maybe.
Bertha butt boogie.
Ooh, bump, bump. So the kids in here never heard the Bertha butt boogie, so we've done our part to educate them.
Okay, let's do the round robin. Jonathan, were you familiar with the Bertha butt boogie?
This is my first experience with the Bertha butt boogie.
Okay, Julian, Bertha butt boogie?
I don't know what that was, but I was feeling it. For those with eyes in the room, I gave him a show.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
Oh, Julian was vibing on the other side of the glass over there.
Little Bertha butt boogie. Yeah. So.
And I wonder what our guests in the green room, Alice Wallace, as she's listening to us playing, and she's thinking, I'm going in this studio and they just played the Bertha butt boogie? Let me reconsider this.
And ask you what I did during the 10 o'clock news.
What did you do during the 10 o'clock news, dear?
I broke out the key lime pie.
Yeah.
That I was worried as we were stuck on Lakeshore Drive, it was going to melt and get all soupy, but it was frozen when I put it in a Ziploc bag filled with ice cubes. And was it still cold? Yay?
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
I can confirm it was delicious.
Yeah, I'm still salivating. I'm going to drown on my own saliva.
But you've been told that that will keep your teeth healthy, the more saliva that you can make.
And healthy salivary glands. I don't need them to surgically remove it from my throat like somebody I know.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. We scared the kids last week with the story of salivary gland impacted.
Yep.
Impaction? Impact? I don't know.
Impacted.
Impacted. Thank you.
By the way, if you were in the downtown area, if you were stuck by any of the crazy stuff that's going on in traffic tonight. Wow, is there a great fireworks display that just wrapped up at Navy Pier tonight?
Yes, yes, yes. It was really, it was especially good because they decided to give us the view. Sometimes they move a little bit to the south and we only see like a few little sparklers going up. It was really impressive. And to answer the question, do they do that every night? No, only Saturday and Wednesday night.
And I believe someone can fact check me on this. But I believe that through Labor Day,
yeah,
that Wednesdays on Navy Pier are free to see the fireworks. Because remember, they have...
not to see the fireworks, to ride on the Ferris wheel.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I fact-checked you.
I know I keep you around for a reason.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here to aggravate you with the facts, man. I got the facts. a listener from 615 area code said, I heard the Birth of Butt Boogie 2 days ago on WVOL in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah. So there are a whole bunch of us that were following the storm, and we couldn't get that song out of our heads. So that's a good one. And who did it? Jonathan, who did that? You looked it up.
Now wait a minute. Don't tell me yet. I can see it because...
You've got the 45.
Well, and it was in hot rotation for a while, too. Oh, I can't think of...
Okay, say Uncle.
Okay, Uncle.
So who did it? Bertha Butt Boogie.
The Jimmy Castor Bunch.
Oh! Is that what you knew?
I was going to say, I'm thinking of, Dr. Funkenstein.
That's even better.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Castor. You're right.
I was just about to jump in and say that, and I was too slow on the mic. Really, really I was. The Jimmy Castor Bunch.
So you can verify. It was kind of refreshing to hear it because you just don't, you know. You just don't hear it up and down the dial.
And they did have one follow-up record to that made the...
Top 40?
The top 40 charts.
Mm.
And the album cover looks like it's Hanna-Barbera art. Like, it's cartoonish. Mm. However, it's a bit risque. I'm surprised that was, like, for sale in the 70s.
Well, because it was Bertha's butt, you know. They didn't have to have her pose for it, if you could...
If it's animated.
Yeah, never mind. So, Ron, did you get your key lime pie?
I did, but I haven't had a chance to take a bite yet. So, thank you very much for that. Okay. I've just been busy in the newsroom.
Scurried into the newsroom.
Thank you.
With pie.
Thank
and
you.
I had to, because I wanted everybody to get it while it was cold before. Mm.
Is that like Steve's birthday key lime pie?
It is. Yes. Mm. You know, he didn't get any. Everybody else got some. But it is gluten free. So
oh, good.
But I do not think anyone would. Well, you guys tell me, does it taste any different than a regular key lime pie?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Ron, we didn't get to ask you. See any new movies this week?
I saw Tony.
Oh, people are saying that's like the best movie of the year.
It is so good. It is very good.
Really?
And terrific performances. And I didn't know an awful lot about Anthony Bourdain. I'm not a cook. And I didn't watch the TV show. I just know that people loved him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about him as a very young man. I guess he's not a teenager. He's in college. But how he's, you know, finding his way. And he was taking the wrong paths a lot of the times. And he was in some trouble until he finally got his act together.
Mm.
And so it's a... It shows that. Very good performance by Dominic, I believe it's Sessa is his name. And also Leo Woodall as one of his buddies and partner in crime, basically. And also Antonio Banderas is very good in it as his mentor.
So Sessa is playing Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
And he pulls that off?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Very, very intense. And... it's good writing, so but it's a terrific story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to give a full review on Thursday on Lisa's show.
All right.
Cool. And blatant plug, you do the reviews on Lisa's show every Thursday at what time?
Thursday. Well, it kind of shifts. So anywhere between 3 and 5 o'clock is that. And pretty soon we are going to be putting some video versions of them up on the WGN webpage. And see how those play. See if people respond well to those. Because want to get the word out. When you see a good movie, you want to tell people about it. I mean, I would go door to door if I didn't work on the radio and just knock on people's door. Have you seen this movie yet?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good movie, you want to share it. So.
Sure.
That's how we are about music. We come across some new music or someone that we are so impressed with. I got to share it with everybody. That's why we came back to Saturday night, so we could do that.
And you're doing a terrific job. You have some of the best music guests, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the lady who's going to join us in a few minutes, I think you're going to absolutely love her.
Yeah, yeah. A quick movie story. Did you, Ron, hear that Tom Holland has been cast?
Oh, yeah. Don't say who.
Okay.
Who? Now, this is going to be a biopic.
Yes.
Who do you think Tom Holland would be cast as? To do a biopic.
You know, I think I've, in the recesses of my memory, I think I've heard this already. Probably Spider-Man.
Oh, that's original. He is going to be Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire, that's right. He's going to try to do his own dancing.
Well, the funny thing is, when he met his fiance, Zendaya, he was dancing on some goofy show, and I think it was a singing. No, he did Umbrella, the Umbrella song, Rihanna's Umbrella, right?
Oh, you talk about
Umbrella
that karaoke thing?
Well, no, it wasn't
Umbrella. Ella.
Yes, that's the song. And he was dancing, and she was like backstage waiting for her turn, and she was smitten. That girl fell in love with him. She said that was it. So he can dance, and of course she's a great dancer because she won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, he was a dancer when he was a kid.
Oh, is that right?
You know, he's got it. You know, I'm sure he's very good, but Fred Astaire.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's just it's like saying that, you know, he's the Babe Ruth of dancers.
Yeah.
There's just nobody that can touch him. So.
In fact, while I'm surprised that he is playing Fred Astaire, I can't think of anybody that I would cast as Fred Astaire.
I can't either.
No.
I mean, it is such...
You got to be thin.
This is the high bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a thankless role. I mean, unless they use CGI or AI, where you're just putting your face on Fred Astaire's.
Oh, no, he said, wait. Tom Holland said he will dance every step.
I know.
He said no one is going to say, oh, that's CGI. He said, my hand to God, I'm going to do every dance.
I know, that's what they're promising, but I can't imagine it's going to be. Maybe there won't be a lot of dancing in the movie.
Right.
What I mean?
Yeah.
It'll be the story about his life, and you know, he walks off camera, and then you hear tap dancing.
but here's going to be the test.
Yeah.
Will they be able to do the dance sequences the way Astaire did them? If you look at Astaire's dance sequences, compare them to more recent dance sequences, the more recent are quick cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Astaire, it's here's the camera. He's the dancer.
It's one take.
Film it.
That's it.
End of story.
Yeah. It's to me, it's just breathtaking because he's so good. And I'm kind of excited about the movie. But I remember, and I know you remember this too, the controversy when there was a vacuum cleaner commercial that used the likeness of Fred Astaire. And that was before we had CGI.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the Astaire estate
signed off on it.
Signed off on it.
It was very clever.
And he was dancing with a vacuum cleaner, and people were just like, oh, that is sacrilegious. He would never do. Well, he probably would have done that.
Not sure.
And it was really well done. So we've come a long way from those days.
If he can do the Odyssey, he can do Fred Astaire.
That's right. Yeah. He can do anything. Yes. So.
We can do a break, and then we need to do some shouts.
Let's do that right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Time to shout it out loud. some shout-outs to those of you who are nice enough to hang out with us. And I want to start with some of the people who were nice enough to check out our blog. And we're always amazed at some of the countries that are checking out our blog. And if you haven't checked it out, we'd appreciate it if you go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd love it if you would subscribe. There's no fee. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And we're constantly amazed at some of the countries that are checking on our blog. So the top 10 countries this week, the United States, Belgium, Singapore, China, Hong Kong, S-A-R, China, Germany, the United Kingdom, Netherlands, France, and Russia.
This is a first. Russia is yep. checking in.
And
what are we doing that Russia wants
know.
To read are about? Are they observing us for some reason?
Well, they're certainly Russian to listen to you.
Oh. Hey. We're going to lock his door. Lock him in there.
And a couple of people on our blog checking in. Let's see. And this was Linda who said, did AI attack another AI? Was it jealous? Was it defending its territory? Was it looking for Hal? That's because I had mentioned on our blog that we're going to be talking about the AI attack this week. And happy Saturday to you both. I'll be listening on my phone from Sammich.
That's Debbie Tusick, I bet.
And Steve and Johnny, wow, another great show tonight. I'll be listening from Port Charlotte, Florida. That's Robin Aiken.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are being heard on Mackinac Island tonight. Our listener from 708 is there with a son and daughter. So enjoy yourself on Mackinac Island. And lucky you're there this week, because last week, remember, it was so foggy you couldn't even see the bridge on Mackinac Island. Our buddy George Clemens is listening in Augusta, Georgia. A bunch of happy birthdays for you, Steve. And your birthday is just an hour and a half away. Also listening in tonight is Miriam in Seneca. She says, I live about 7 miles north of Seneca in a little village called Stavanger, named after Norway. And I think we spent an afternoon in that town. We were on a road rally and we ended up there, and it was really very quaint. I had no idea it was there until we ended up there. Mm-hmm. Sherry Hanrahan is listening in Romeoville. Rob and Amy are in Whiting, Indiana, where they have Pierogi Fest this weekend. And the parade was very impressive. And our buddy, Mr. Pierogi, looked good. He even went to a barbershop to get all fixed up because he said, look, if I'm going to dress as food, I got to look good. Yep. And he did. Bing Besh is listening in Winfield. JW and Dolly Mink are in Chesapeake, Virginia. Stacy Dragerson, I'm glad you both arrived safely. Thank you, Stacy.
So are we. Yes. We weren't sure. There were moments.
Scott is in South Dakota listening online. Also tuned in tonight. Bunch of people just are happy to be home and out of the traffic because it's everywhere. Ken Fallett and his pup Gus are checking in from Pullman, Michigan. Jim is listening in Richmond, and he was kind enough to check on our house in Florida. Thank you, Jim. And Jim had a question for Patrick Crispin last weekend. And Jim, I remembered your question. I've sent it on to Patrick so he can answer it after midnight when he joins us. David Shine is listening. Let's see here.
Let me mention our friend Nikki O'Neill, who checked in.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about Alice Wallace, who's going to be joining us. She said, Alice is wonderful. I've known her a little bit since L.A. and have gotten to meet and see her in concert more lately. Outstanding talent. And she's got a yodel workshop at the Old Town mm-hmm. School coming up. And we'll talk more about that, too.
Nice to hear from you, Nikki O'Neill. Sherry in Bolingbrook is listening tonight. A bunch of happy birthdays coming in for you, Steve. Gina in Lone Tree, Colorado says, hey. Jan Raycheck is listening from far away Long Grove. Roy Phillips is waving his hand from Northwest Illinois, where he's listening on his AMF. FM cassette radio. Fred Huser is listening. Peter Jacobowitz and Tony LaMola. That just kind of rolls off your tongue. Tony LaMola.
And it makes me think of one of my favorite guitarists, Tony Mottola.
Exactly. Yes. Eric Baum sends another gorgeous picture from Wells Beach, Maine. Oh my gosh, it's outstanding. Speaking of pictures, I have not had a chance to put up our pictures on our trip to work tonight, but I will do that this evening.
Because you won't believe some of the pictures.
Just sitting in traffic. Chuck Snitchler listening from Valpo. Thank you, Chuck. And, our buddy, you mentioned Sandwich. Our buddy Bobby Damos out in Sandwich is tuned in. Brian Lefevre in Bridgeport. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Susie Schimmel in Glen Ellen. Janet Gellert is in hot and humid Gainesville. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Linda Daniels is in Hazelcrest. Diane Vasquez, our graphics guru, just celebrated her 57th wedding anniversary. Helen Thomas in K-Town. And Bonnie Pearson is tuned in Grayslake. If I miss you, I'll get you next week, I promise. But right now, we're going to take a break for news here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Again, this is one of those problems that we have every now and then, because I want to play this whole thing.
I know.
But if we do, we won't get to say, hello, Alice Wallace.
Hi, Alice.
I know, and that's a long song, so,
That's a good song, too.
Thank you. Give me
goosebumps.
It's one of my favorites. It got a lot of attention, too, when the album came out. That was a favorite among the reviewers, so.
Oh, wow. Well, for folks who don't know, Alice Wallace, singer, songwriter, can we call you a Chicagoan now?
Yes, officially. Yay! As of the end of May, and a Chicago resident.
Yes, you moved from Nashville.
I did.
And we have to thank Facebook for introducing us, because Facebook has this algorithm that says, oh, you know people in Nashville? Okay, let me... Alice Wallace, who is this? Oh, she's leaving Nashville to come to Chicago. Let me hear her song. Whoa, can we get her on the show? And I emailed you, and here you are.
Here you are.
Wow. And so this is my first time on a Chicago radio station, and I'm very happy to be here.
Nice. All right, we're going to get to know you. You started out in California, mm-hmm. moved to Florida, back to California, then to Tennessee, and now to Illinois. Right?
You got it perfect.
So you were actually born in L.A.?
I was. My mom grew up in L.A. and Hollywood, and so I was born there. But we moved to Florida when I was small. They decided, L.A.'s expensive to raise kids, you know. But my dad is from Florida. So we ended up back in Florida. I grew up there, went to college there, then went back to Southern California to be near my family. My parents had moved back and started my music
career. Well, they got rid of the kids
there.
And they go back to California.
They're like, okay, now we can go back.
Now we can live the life in California.
So I started my career there and started touring and building, audiences and just, honestly moved back in with my parents for about the first 6 years of my music career, building a career, figuring out how to make a living at it. And then about 6.5 years ago, moved to Nashville. It was December of 2019. Turned out to be not a great time to make a big life change.
Because a few months later, everything stopped.
Yeah, so it was an odd time to move to Nashville. Wow. But then I stuck around for a while, and I really love so much about Nashville, and it's still only an 8-hour drive away.
Yeah.
But now my family is up here, and I was just looking for a change, and I was spending more and more time up here, and it just seems like an amazing city. I've never lived in a really big city. L.A. doesn't really count, because
it's a world into itself.
Yeah, it's a sprawling city. Yeah. I've never lived somewhere with public transit and,
Well, that's right. In Nashville, you don't have that.
Not other than just buses.
Yeah. You don't have the L.
Yeah. So it's really cool to get... I'm excited to be here and explore.
You're going to love the creative community in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah.
And we were talking off the air. We mentioned Nikki O'Neill, who's done our show a couple of times with her husband.
Yeah.
And Erica, who was in here last week from the Empty Pockets.
Mm-hmm. So. I know the music world, you meet so many people. I know people in every city, and I already knew a few here. So, I've got, a little group to start with, and I've just been trying to get out there and meet more people. And, right after I moved here, I went on tour on the West Coast for a month. So I've really only really...
You dropped your suitcase. And left
pretty much. So I really only kind of lived here for 3 weeks, even though I moved here at the end of May. But hey, I'm trying to dive into Chicago summer.
Oh.
We went to the Square Roots Festival a couple weeks ago, and trying to just...
Got Lollapalooza next weekend.
Oh geez.
Yeah. So stay away from this area.
Right. I don't know if I'm going to brave that. The really big ones are
yeah.
But no, there's so much going on here in the summer. I love it so much.
Yeah.
So
well, speaking of so much going on, the blatant plug light just started flashing. You've got this thing going on next week at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Tell us about this.
I do. I'm very excited. I'm going to be teaching a yodeling workshop. next Saturday, and I'm pretty sure there's still spots available. So, yeah, and actually Nikki O'Neill was the one who connected me with the Old Town School, and I just kind of reached out and I said, you know, I've always wanted to do – I've done some yodeling workshops at some – festivals and things around the country, and the Old Town School has such, you know, yeah, renown. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, man, I wonder if they'd let me do one there. And he said, sure, let's give it a shot. So great. I'm really excited.
Well, we teased our audience at the top of the show. We said that Alice is going to be offering a workshop about something that not a whole lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And we said, we're not going to tell you what it is. So the answer to that is now, yodeling.
Now, is it true that your admiration for Jewel led you to yodeling?
It did. It did. You know, like I was a huge fan of Jewel in high school, and then I heard her yodel, and I was like, people still yodel? And I was like, I must be one of these people. And I just, like, in college, just taught myself how to yodel, and I've been doing it ever since. And, you know, after Jewel introduced me to it, then I, you know, started doing more of the research, going mm-hmm. back to the, you know, kind of originators of the cowboy mm-hmm. yodel back in the 20s and 30s. And actually, one exciting thing is in Nashville, one of the collaborators I've been working with is Ranger Doug from Riders in the Sky.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Who is one of the renowned yodelers yeah. in the country at the moment. So we're working on some songs together, and we're looking to get in the studio probably in the fall to do like an EP, a duet of yodeling duets and things. So it's pretty cool getting to be friends with such a famous yodeler.
Alice needs to meet Susie Boggess because she yodels too.
You know, I've opened for Susie.
Have you?
So yeah, we have connected, although we have not yodeled together.
She doesn't do it in all of her shows.
I know.
She reads the crowd.
Yeah. I did suggest, I was like, hey, you want to do like I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart together? She's like, I wasn't really prepared for that tonight, but I'm hoping one day we'll connect and get to yodel together because, yeah, I love her voice. She is fabulous.
Susie is a dear friend. And in fact, we just helped to induct her into the Illinois Hall of Fame just last October, I think it was.
Yeah. Is she from around here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Aledo.
Aledo, Illinois.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of yodeling, her song, Little Old Aledo.
Little Old Aledo, yes.
Oh, I've never heard that song. Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up. That just that just rolls off the yodeling tongue.
So if people want to come to the workshop, they need to be able to sing, right?
I mean, not necessarily. I've said it's like open to whoever just wants to come and experience. Like, I'll be talking some about the history of yodeling and demonstrating, like singing some songs. But then also there will be obviously a big participation part of it. But even if you're not a strong singer, it's just fun to try to yodel. So I think people should show up whether they're a singer or not and just give it a try because, you know, why not?
You might be surprised.
Exactly.
You open your mouth and whoa.
Yeah,
Is yodeling limited to people with certain vocal registers? For example, could Barry White yodel?
You know, I think he could. Because, I mean, basically every human voice has a, like, chest voice and a head voice.
Okay.
Even if, like, the notes they use might be lower for certain people. But even Barry White would have had, like, a falsetto, a head voice, even if his head voice might be where my normal voice is, even though his high voice would be, like, right here. You know, but you could still yodel between those two registers. So, really, I think everyone has the capacity, you know, but do they have the discipline to practice it?
Now, for folks who got their attention, if they want to be there for the workshop, should they call the Old Town School? What should they do to sign up?
Yeah, and they're on their website, they have a list of their workshops where you can sign up. But I'm sure if you called them, they could direct you to the right place and everything. And I think it's on my website also. I should double check. I meant to put it on there if it's not. But yeah, if you go to the Old Town School of Folk Music website, it'll be on there for August 1st.
August 1st. Wow.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then we're going to try to con you into doing whatever you feel like doing.
Let's do it.
Yes. Okay. Alice Wallace is our guest in studio here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're going to shut up and do the smart thing and let Alice Wallace do whatever she would like to do. What do you want to do?
Well, I thought since I just was talking about Ranger Doug and writing songs with him, maybe I would start out with one of my favorite songs that he and I have written together.
Oh.
It has a little bit of yodeling, not a ton, but, you know, you got to sometimes ease into the yodeling. So, and this song really, like, speaks to the reason I love writing songs with him, because I feel like keeping these old school traditions of music alive is such an important thing to do. This is called As Long As There's Lonesome.
Oh, my goodness.
I love everything about that.
Full body goosebumps. I'm not kidding you. And you make it look so darn easy when you're singing.
Well, thank you.
That's a fabulous song.
Well, I got to say that you guys make it sound really good in these headphones, too, so that helps.
Oh, my gosh. I love the lyrics.
Oh, thank you.
Is that going to be on your next album?
That's going to be definitely on the CD that Ranger Doug and I will record, for sure. That's one of my favorites that I think just captures that kind of old-timey spirit. And yeah, I love singing that one.
How long did it take for you to get that song?
We wrote that in just like a couple hours one afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we worked on the yodel a little bit, went back and forth a bit, but
it's so tasteful.
Yeah.
I love the way you just slip it in there and make me want more.
Right. Don't worry. We'll end with some real yodeling. But you got to save it for like the cherry on top.
Okay.
One of the many things I love about that, it's contemporary, mm-hmm. but it's vintage.
Right.
It's like... That's
what I'm really trying to do with this, you know, with writing with him, is like bringing that old school sensibility, but like kind of bringing it into the modern world, because mm-hmm. I feel like things like yodeling could be so much more appreciated if they were done in a way that didn't feel quite so throwback, you know, like mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. want to hear it like brought a little more modern. And that's why, like, I love yodeling, like, really fast and kind of rock and roll sometimes, too, because people don't expect that. You know, like, there's so many ways you can use it that a lot of times, like, people just kind of dismiss it as being this sort of, you know, sort of cheesy thing that with, you know, Lederhosen and, you know, the Swiss Alps and everything, which is also an amazing tradition when you actually hear the yodelers, like, from Bavaria. I mean, it's insane what they can do with their voices. So the cowboy yodeling is kind of a, you know, a somewhat simplified version of yodeling.
But it started for the same reason that they did in the Alps when they're out on the range and they're just kind of lonely. And
absolutely. And really it was like the immigrants coming from, you know, Switzerland and mm-hmm. Germany and Austria, like in like the mid-1800s, and they would form these singing troops, and then the cowboys heard them singing and picked it up from them. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, as I was listening to your music, though, I found myself saying, okay, she's going to yodel for us tonight. And I think yodeling, as a former accordion player, I put them in the same that people just never really appreciated.
Yeah.
It's a difficult instrument to play.
Yeah, and it's beautiful when done well.
Yes.
You know, like, and so, yeah.
And I've said to Steve many, many times, if they had introduced me to rock and roll on the accordion, it would have been the coolest thing in the world. But I hated it because everybody hated it.
Right.
Well, quick story. How much did Johnny hate it? So much that, how many years ago?
25 years ago.
We did a benefit concert for the victims of the Plainfield tornado. We all performed. I played guitar, did Johnny Be Good while I'm singing Johnny Be Good. Johnny has her accordion. Mm-hmm. At the ending chorus, where everybody's singing Go Johnny Go, Johnny walks toward the front of the stage, takes her accordion off, and does a Jimi Hendrix, burns her accordion on stage, and
the
crowd
went
nuts.
The crowd is screaming, burn it, burn it. Because when I took the fireplace match out of my back pocket and then struck it on the bottom of my boot, they went wild.
Yeah.
I said, yep, this is cathartic. You know.
Well, I mean, people like a good, you know, pyrotechnic moment of any kind. But it's true. Like, accordions get a bad rap.
Yes.
So does yodeling. And we need to, like,
make
them cool again, you know?
Yes. Bring it into rock and roll.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, you've got music. It's available now to answer a question from a couple of our listeners who are already in love with you.
Amazing.
Can they get it on your website? Is that what you recommend?
Yeah. Or, you know, you can go on, you know, my physical CDs you can find like on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can stream my music wherever you stream any music, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, and all those kind of things. And then obviously come see me to play a show sometime and I'd be happy to sell you a CD. But yeah, you can find links to all of that from my website though.
So how many do you have under your belt now?
I think 6 solo CDs, and I did a duo CD during the pandemic as well. But yeah, my most recent record came out actually in 2024. It still feels like it's brand new, but it's not. But that's my first Nashville record, though, produced, you know, by this amazing Nashville producer with Nashville session players who I'd literally never met until the day of in the studio, because that's how they like to do it. And it was such an experience, but I'm so proud of how it came out. And so, yeah, I've really been mostly touring on that record for the last couple of years. And yeah, I could definitely play you a couple of those songs if you might like to hear them.
And in fact, coming out of the news, we're going to bump back with the song that first pointed me to Alice just knocked me out. And I'm debating how much I want to ask you to explain about that song, because there's a lot going on there. So I'll just say whatever you want to share, and whatever you don't.
And can I just say that this was a case of you were listening to her music and woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You've got to hear Alice's music.
I really did.
I remember going, okay, that's cool. Let's book her.
Amazing. Yes. I really appreciate hearing things like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And your website is AliceWallaceMusic.com.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Couple L's in there. Get it right. We've locked the doors. She's here for a while. Got her guitar, got her beautiful Gibson guitar in hand.
Yeah, I love the tone of that guitar.
It sounds good on the radio, too.
Her name is Lillian.
Really?
Yay. Look, it says Lillian on the headstock. I named her after the Emmy Lou song, Red Dirt Girl, that starts with the line, me and my best friend Lillian.
Oh.
Because she is my best friend. So, thanks for mentioning her.
Steve names all of his guitars, so yeah. I'm on board with that. Yes, yeah. We're going to take a break for news and get you all up to date. And again, you can text us at 312-981-7200. Alice Wallace is in the studio with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. That is Alice Wallace. The song is Better Than This. I can't tell you how much I love that song. Mm-hmm. That there are some songs I hear and I realize no one should ever do that again. That's it. This is the perfect version. Yes. How did that happen? What a great song.
Yeah, you know, I wrote that the day after waking up to the news of the riots in Minneapolis after George Floyd was killed. And I didn't even know if I would ever sing the song. Honestly, like, I felt like I needed to write something, but I didn't necessarily think my voice was needed in the conversation. You know, like, I was like, who am I? You know, but I'm just like, I was just so overwhelmed. I wrote the song, and I started sneaking it into shows every once in a while. And every time I did, people were like, you need to sing that song more often. Mm-hmm. And of course, now I sing it at basically every show because it has, unfortunately, felt more relevant with time, like with each passing day. So I sing it at every show now. So,
You need to do the T-shirt. We're better than this.
We're better than this. I know. Yes. We keep clinging to it, you know?
Gosh. For people who would like to get that song, it's on which album?
It's on my latest one called Here I Am. Yeah. So.
And you can stream that song if you want on Spotify.
Yep, it's on all the places.
Wow.
I also have to ask you, when you recorded that, it has such a live feel. Mm-hmm. Did you record it live? Because if not, boy, then somebody faked it really well.
You know, I think I did go back. We tried to record everything live, and then I usually ended up going back and re-singing some things because I was so nervous in the studio with these, like, big-time session players from Nashville. But all of them were in one big room together, playing together and, like, playing off of each other. I mean, it was kind of insane. Like, we went in, and they had literally never heard my songs before. I would play them on an acoustic guitar, hand them a chart, and we'd be like, 1, 2, 3, go. And they just would make magic within a few minutes. And I just told them, I was like, let's just dig into this. Like, it's like a B.B. King rip your heart out kind of, you know, blues song, because that's what I was feeling when I wrote it. So
when did you write your first song? How old were you?
I was like, I think about 15.
Yeah.
Like, my parents both played guitar and sang, and especially my dad had bands when he was younger. And, you know, so, like, when I was growing up, they were always in the living room strumming guitars and singing, like, especially, like, Graham and Emmy Lou duets were, like, their favorites. So I had some good influences growing up. And so, like, once I was old enough, it, like, I wanted to join in the sing-along. So I taught myself a few chords, and pretty much as soon as I had learned, like, three chords on the guitar, like, I wrote a song. I was like, okay, time to write a song. And it wasn't a particularly great song, although I think it did win, like, a talent show at school, because then I immediately wanted to perform it. Like, I was always kind of, you know, one of the kids that wanted to perform, like, sing for the camera, dance for the camera, you know. And then once I started writing songs, I was like, okay, I want to sing these for people. And to this day, like, the actual, like, performing is my favorite part of being an artist, because connecting with an audience, mm-hmm. like singing a song and seeing it, like, resonate on their face and have them tell me, you know, like, when they come up, like, connecting through music, I think, is just one of the most powerful things in the world. And I love being part of that process. Mm.
Yeah.
I think we should do the smart thing and shut up and ask you what you want to do.
Well, I think I want to sing a song that's actually the first track on my latest record. And it's a song that's born out of the fact that, you know, we all struggle with some inner voices that's telling us that we aren't as good at things as we sometimes think we are. And so I wrote this song, and it's become one of my favorites. And it is one that I feel like when I sing this for people, so many people come up to me afterwards and they say, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
This song is called Imposter.
Wow. wow. Lyrically, that's powerful.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I know, I feel like we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
To that feeling.
I love so much about that. But in part, where did you get the idea to kind of pause a couple beats before the last
word?
Punchline word.
I don't know. It just sort of happened that way when I wrote it. Like, I liked that 4 to the 4 minor thing. And it just felt like it needed, like, to sit on that for a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then an exclamation point.
Yeah, yeah. It just sort of, yeah.
But it also fits with the lyrics.
Right.
I'm doubting myself.
Right.
And then that last word pops out.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, it just sort of happened that way.
Wow.
And you should go to Alice's site and you should watch the video for that.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
a
wonderful video, too.
Yeah. I have some friends in Nashville that make amazing music videos. What we created with that was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw the cut of it, like, I literally, like, cried. At the end, like, I take all my makeup off, you know, like, we put on all these layers to try to, like, make ourselves feel like we are the person we think we are, and we don't need all of that stuff, you know? We are that person, and, like, so it was actually surprisingly hard for me to, like, take off my makeup in a music video. I realized, I'm fighting with my imposter syndrome right now.
Yeah.
Just trying to be
I'm really
like,
naked.
Trying to be like makeupless on a music video. And I'm like, come on, you can do this. You know, like, it's amazing. Yeah. What we fight with internally to create things sometimes. Mm. So
Alice Wallace is our guest. I love this comment from a listener. Chicago is lucky to get a wonderful singer like Alice Wallace.
Aww.
That is very sweet. Alice is with us for a little bit, so please stay with us. If you want to put a face to the voice and you haven't gone to her site, on our Facebook page, I stuck a picture of her while she was singing. And I put that picture up, and we will be right back with Alice Wallace here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Alice Wallace and Santa Ana Winds. Alice is nice enough to be hanging out in the studio with us. You need to watch that video. It's an extraordinary video. And as I was watching it, I was thinking back to Johnny and I have extended family in California. And last year, they took us to some of the areas that were just devastated by some of the fires.
Yeah.
And you show that from a previous fire in Santa Ana, and it's devastating. Can you tell me about that song? How did that all happen?
Yeah, I wrote that song with a friend of mine named Andrew Delaney, who's actually a Texas songwriter that I met years ago, and just brilliant songwriter. But we wrote that watching what was then the worst wildfire California had ever seen. It was, I think, about 9 years ago now. It was called the Thomas Fire. Mm-hmm. It was in, like, Santa Barbara, Ventura area, and it was one of these just devastating ones that kind of like went through it, burned the hillsides, but then it rained and then there was mudslides and it was just so much loss of life and property and everything. And I feel like it was when the tide really started like turning toward like, oh, this is serious. And like mm-hmm. every year since, there's been a new worst yeah. wildfire. And the crazy thing about that music video for that is that actually we went out and we filmed that video in what was basically the ruins of the studio where we recorded that album, because we recorded the album in Malibu at this beautiful studio that stood on this horse ranch. And like a few months later, after we recorded the record, these fires swept through Malibu and the studio itself wasn't completely destroyed, but like the horse stables were, their house was, like, we filmed the this video in the just ashes of what used to be where we recorded the record. And honestly, like, I was coughing and sick for like a month after walking around wow. in those ashes. Like, you don't realize like how toxic it is being out there in those things. And so many people have been dealing with it. And mm-hmm. I've had so many friends who have lost everything in wildfires in California. And so I sing that song a lot too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You said you were 15 when you wrote your first song. Mm-hmm. You're a great guitarist. When did you first pick up the guitar?
Right about the same time. I do remember I picked it up for a minute when I was about like 10 and got blisters and got, kind of discouraged and put it back down. But really kind of picked it up in earnest as, like 15, 16, and was like, I really want to do this mm-hmm. thing. And so, I've been playing it ever since. I've never really taken lessons or taken it very seriously. Like, I've just always used it as a means to allow me to sing, give me something to sing to.
It's one thing to want to do this. Was there a point where you said, not only do I want to, I'm going to, this is my life?
Yeah, there was. I tried really hard to like get normal jobs and not do this for a living. And it wasn't until, I was like almost 30 when I just like I realized how much of my life I was spending just like waiting till the weekend when I could play a show, or and I was kind of looking for a life change anyway. So that's when I quit my job, I moved back in with my parents, and I was like, I'm gonna see if I can make this my job. Can I build this into something real, because it's what I love more than anything? And so I haven't had a real job in about, I think it's about like 13 years now. I've been doing this full time. Haven't yet had to get another job. So,
And your parents were so supportive. Say, come on home, you can do this.
Yeah, they're my biggest fans. I couldn't do it without them. And so, I am very grateful to have supportive parents, because not everybody has that. Some people have the parents who are like, get a job.
Yes. Well, now, when you were a teenager and you opened your mouth, this voice came out. Did that kind of freak you out?
And honestly, though, like, my voice has developed over the years because I never really took lessons. I just loved to sing. And so I will say that, like, my voice didn't quite, like, I think I had natural aptitude, but it was just hours and hours and hours of playing shows that really taught me how to use my voice properly, and mimicking all of my favorite singers and the Emmy Lou's and the Linda Ronstadt's and the Dolly Parton's, and just, trying to find where my voice was in all of that, just over time. And I feel like every year it gets like a little bit better. I go, oh, this sounds a little more like me every year.
Oh,
and I'm
that's
figuring
cool.
it out.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, this isn't getting old. It's getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's really cool. Alice Wallace is with us in studio. And if you were listening at the top of the show, you heard that she's going to be at the Old Town School of Folk Music next Saturday for a yodeling symposium. You can find out more about it. We will repeat all of that in case it piqued your interest and you'd like to be in that class, that group. More coming up with Alice Wallace here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Alice Wallace. You should go to alicewallacemusic.com. You should buy everything that is available on that website.
That's right.
Because it's all good.
That's a real radio-friendly song.
Yeah.
I can hear that. Just,
We thought so, too. It didn't catch on radio as much as I hoped it would, but I think it's got potential. Mm-hmm. It still could.
Absolutely. Okay, I got to read some of the texts under your picture on our Facebook page. Patrice says, I'm listening as I text super, 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 all in capital letters. Enrique says, I'm listening to the program. She sounds great. And you got a bunch of emoticons of applauding hands.
Perfect.
Anthony, our buddy Anthony Urias says, she sounds great on the radio. A bunch of exclamation points. Diane says, I'm chilling in my recliner and just feeling so relaxed because I'm listening to this amazing lady. One song is better than the next. I'm not kidding. And then a whole bunch of hearts after that. And then Wayman says, I'm loving this show tonight. Alice's voice is impeccable. And then we've got some emoticons of applause. So
amazing.
They're loving you.
I love how generous and emphatic your fans are.
Yes, they
your
are.
Your listeners.
Wow. Okay. Before we run out of time, because we said... It all goes by so quickly once we settle in here. Yes. What would you like to do for us?
Well, I wanted to play one other song off of my new record. This is another co-write that I wrote with a friend of mine in Nashville named Melody Walker. I don't know if you guys have come across Melody. She was for a long time. She was in a band called Front Country that was from the Bay Area. But now she really just mostly writes songs, and she can also yodel. She doesn't like lean into it the way I do, but she can. And just one of the best voices I've ever heard. So when we got together to write a song, we're like, it's got to have at least a little bit of yodeling to it, right? You know? And I will say Melody got a little more famous last year. She won a Grammy for co-writing the song American Dreamin' with Sierra Ferrell, if you're familiar with Sierra Ferrell. So I always say that it shows to be like, now, when we went to go put some yodeling in the song, the thing is, you got to be careful with the yodeling. You put too much yodeling in a song, it's not going to win a Grammy. So, which maybe isn't true, but, you know.
We'll get them to change.
I know. We're waiting for that yodeling category at the Grammys. I feel like one it might happen. So this is our song that just has like a hint of yodel. So people can't even really, you can't totally tell it's yodeling, but it just gives that extra oomph, you know. This is called Bonfire.
Thank you. Wow. And Lillian, your guitar sounds especially good on that tune.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, you have to answer a question. One of our listeners, forgive me, I think her name is Nancy. She says, when I tell my friends about Alice, what category is she, country? I would say singer-songwriter.
I know, you know, I usually go with the Americana thing, but also a lot of people don't know what Americana means, you know, so, you know, it is somewhere between singer-songwriter, like, it borders on country, but I also feel like today's country is not what I sing, and so that also kind of misleads people.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
like,
traditional.
I'm more influenced by the country of, like, the mid-70s.
But I want to take you in a little different direction.
Yeah.
Just because of some of the phrasing and chords you do. Do you like jazz?
I do like jazz. Yes.
I could hear you doing some jazz stuff, too.
Right. I mean, I have. I do occasionally aspire to pretend to be a jazz singer. but yeah, I mean, I love it. I would love to get more into that in Chicago, where there is a lot of jazz.
And no one's ever done jazz yodeling.
Ooh.
Right.
So there's your own category.
A whole new market to
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you get to write the book because no one's ever done it, right? Oh, boy, that song was so good. And that's on your last album.
Yes.
Oh, Alice Wallace is our guest. And, you know, I want to answer the person, I believe it was Nancy, who said, what category should I tell my friends? There's only two kinds of music.
What you like and what
you
don't
like. So don't get bogged down.
End of story.
Don't get bogged down with labels. Because if you say country and they go, oh, I hate country. Well, maybe they're talking about present day pop country and not traditional. And if you say traditional, they go, oh, that's sad.
Because I wonder if you agree with me. I think today's pop country is 70s rock.
Yes.
That's
it's
pretty much what I hear.
Commercially driven, not song driven. Absolutely. I do feel country has sort of lost its way here in the last little bit.
Yeah.
So hoping it's going to come back around.
Yeah. Wow. Alice Wallace is our guest. And again, real quick before we go into the break, if people want to be there next Saturday, what time of day at the Old Town School of Folk Music are you talking yodeling?
It's 11 a.m., so a little early for the yodeling, you know. But, you know, I'm going to have to get up early and get warmed up. But, yeah, so I think it's – I believe it's 11 a.m. It's like a 90-minute workshop that they can sign up for on the Old Town School of Folk Music website. And, yeah, I would love to have the place packed with people who are just interested in learning about yodeling.
Yeah.
And if they come, will they be able to buy your CDs?
I'll bring some, sure.
Do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
just in case. Can't hurt.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break and back with Alice Wallace here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, where you have a few more minutes with Alice Wallace. If we talked about different genres of music. If we looked at your playlist right now, what would we find? What are you listening to?
We've just been talking about this because we've been taking some road trips. You know, I don't have like, I definitely always go back to my standards, like Emmylou Harris, Linda Ronstadt. Mm-hmm. Like, I never get tired of it. Jenny Lewis is another big favorite of mine. I went to got to go see her when Rilo Kiley went back on tour.
I saw you in a video with woman that we were big fans of on the 9th season of American Idol, Crystal Bowersox.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have a co-write together on my new record, actually.
She's a talent.
She is a talent. I know. I met Great her voice. Shortly after moving to Nashville, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Crystal Bowersox.
We were voting for her.
Oh,
and we were on the air saying, if you have any smarts, you're going to get your phone and vote for Crystal Bowersox.
She should have won for sure. She's fantastic. And just the nicest person. So, yeah. I know in Nashville, like, I also just listen to my friends a bunch. Like, I have a friend, Danny Nichols, who's a British singer-songwriter who now lives in Nashville. She just put out a new record, and I've spun that thing like 20 times. You know, like, so, yeah, we have so many talented friends that a lot of times I listen to my friends, too. So,
well, you're going to have that experience in Chicago, too. You're going to bump into so much talent. You're so lucky.
Yeah.
Gosh, and I'm so happy that they don't feel like they have to move to New York or L.A.
Yeah.
They stay here.
Absolutely.
You know. Okay, I want to sneak this in. Lucas says, I'm driving home, and man, she is almost making me ready to cry with her amazing voice. She is absolutely great. And Steve, that's young Lucas who mans boats up and down the river here.
Yes.
So he was finishing up his gig. 608.
That is something you need to do since you're new to Chicago. You need to take the boat tour up and down the Chicago River.
I did do one architectural tour a little while ago.
Yeah.
Although my little niece was on the boat, too, and she was kind of a distraction, so I was only like half listening and half, you know. So I need to do it again.
Yeah.
Because I didn't learn as much as I should have. So, but yeah, I love being downtown.
And you
here.
Need to do some video with you playing guitar on the boat as you're going up and down the Chicago River.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you can actually rent a kayak. No, don't do that.
Yeah, that might not be good with the guitar.
Not with Lillian.
She might end up in the river, but yes.
Nope.
Stephanie says, Alice Wallace, I love her.
Oh.
What a wonderful, wonderful artist. What a fabulous show tonight. Thank you. That's from Stephanie. Okay, before we run out of time.
Yes.
You are going to do one more for us, right?
Yeah.
Is this it? Is this a cherry? You said the cherry on top of the show.
Absolutely. Okay. I always save it for last. This is my grand finale that I have ended every show with since I taught myself to yodel. Because after I taught myself to yodel, I was like, well, now I have to write a song about it. Right? Like, you know. And it is kind of a yodeling lesson, but not a full-fledged one like people will get at the Old Town School on Saturday. This is kind of the story of me teaching myself how to yodel. And, you know, and it's also my attempt to make people realize that yodeling can be cool. This is called.
Oh, my gosh.
That's spectacular.
Wow. Wow. And there were times that your mouth isn't even moving. So your tongue is like going crazy in there.
She was singing through her ears. It was incredible.
Crazy.
You know?
I looked at Steve. He looked at me and I realized our mouths were hanging. We're like, oh my gosh.
See, yodeling could be cool again.
Very
guys,
cool.
Right?
How long your journey was it before you could do that?
I mean, I could do a sort of version of that within maybe 6 months, but, you know, now I've been doing it for a few years. And it, again, like with all of the parts of my voice, I feel like it develops a little more
each year
that I do it and just learn how to strengthen certain parts and, you know, so yeah.
The lyrics are perfect.
Yeah.
Really, because you're like, oh no, she's going to get faster. Wow.
What kind of a range do you have?
I mean, somewhere in the 3-octave range. But yeah, I mean, I don't have an incredible range.
Oh yeah, you do.
But I just...
hate to see an incredible... No, I'd love... Now, never mind.
But, you know, it's just all about how you use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you use it really, really What a treat.
I have a really strange question. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever done yodeling harmony?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a famous sister duo from like the 50s called the Dzurek Sisters. Look them up. They will blow your mind. Yodeling in harmony so fast and so precise that you can't even believe it. And yeah, a lot of people do. You can absolutely yodel in harmony, no problem. I mean, even Riders in the Sky do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So, yeah,
well, next time you're here, you have to do that.
Oh, with myself. That's a little harder. Yeah. Although sometimes when you get going, some overtones start happening. You kind of are almost harmonizing with yourself in a way, in the right kind of rooms, in the right kind of sound system.
Okay, you have to come back real soon. I mean, before the end of the year, because I want to know where your mind goes when you're singing that. I'm like, are you thinking, oh, I got a big I got a big note coming. Oh, I got to speed it up.
I'm like, oh, I need to go buy some, you know, some sandwich meat at the grocery store.
It's a second nature now.
I mean, it is pretty second nature.
Wow.
Now, you know, so, yeah.
Well, this is a great place to leave our listeners because if this got your attention, 11 o'clock Saturday morning, August 1st, Old Town School of Folk Music, Alice Wallace, 90 minutes. She's going to be talking and explaining all about yodeling, and you will come away. If you're not too shy, you'll be able to get in the car and yodel, right?
I hope.
Yeah.
And also, it will be probably a week or two, but videos of what you just heard tonight will be on our YouTube channel and on our blog. We'll let you know when.
Julian had 4 cameras working tonight the funny thing was I was looking around at everybody in the studio. I was looking at Jonathan on the other side, and we're all like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such a treat.
Use us, okay?
Yes.
Because
we're only letting you out if you promise you're going to come back a lot.
I will,
okay,
absolutely.
You are a fantastic singer, and now, oh my God, you are a great yodelist.
Yodeler. I mean, but you could say whatever you like.
Yeah.
Yodelologist?
Ooh.
Sure, let's go.
Thank you, Alice Wallace. It's such a treat to meet you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You guys as well. This has been such a pleasure, such a fun interview. You guys are just wonderful, so thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for being had. And again, the website is alicewallacemusic.com.
Right, right. And it's exactly like it sounds, alicewallacemusic.com. And we also have a link on our Facebook page. We are going to take a break for news. And coming back on the other side of the news, we're going to go to Houston and talk tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, they just don't write songs like that
anymore. Just say, I'm appalled. I gave that man key lime pie, cold key lime pie.
Yeah.
He still played the song that makes me crazy.
Her.
Okay, Dr. Patrick.
This is on me, and I will own that.
Ooh, listen to you, because he's already eaten his pie. Dr. Patrick Crispin is with us. Patrick, since we were talking about AI and... Can we jump ahead to the health news with ChatGPT? Because this is really, I find this kind of disturbing too.
Yeah, it can be. Like, full disclosure, and I need to say this out loud. I work for a medical school. I'm not a medical doctor. My doctorate is in education. So while I'm Dr. Patrick Crispin, Keck School of Medicine, UFC, that's a doctor of education, not an MD.
Okay.
So nothing about what we're going to say is an endorsement. It's not a recommendation. I just kind of want to tell you about what a lot of people are going to be talking about over the next week or so. As of Thursday, ChatGPT will, only if you give it permission, connect to your actual medical records, things like your lab results, your medications, your actual health data, and things like that. And if you want to, talk to you about them. Absolutely free, absolutely available to every U.S. adult who signs up. You don't get it automatically. You have to sign up, and then you have to be selected. It's not available to everybody. And I want to point out, ChatGPT launched this one day after the New York Times reported on a lawsuit claiming that ChatGPT's health advice nearly killed a man.
That's so right.
We got to be
proving that timing is everything.
By the way, I write notes before this. I have like 9 pages of notes for tonight. I was reading my notes to Christine. Christine, when I was telling her about ChatGPT health, asked, quote, who the hell is using ChatGPT for health questions?
We can do recipes, but not my health.
That was it. That was exactly just like recipes.
And, yeah.
It turns out lots and lots and lots of people are doing it. OpenAI actually says about 300 million people a week are using ChatGPT to ask health questions.
Which speaks to the fact that they can't get to their doctor, so they're desperate for answers.
Yes.
That's about it. Yeah.
Wow.
So Thursday, OpenAI officially said, you know, everybody's coming here already. Let's put something together and make it a little more formal and a little more careful. There's a wait list. You can sign up if you want to. It's going to be eventually available to everybody who signs up if they want it. And it will be available in every ChatGPT plan, almost every ChatGPT plan, including free accounts. I'm not sure it's going to be available to businesses or business accounts, so just be aware of that. So what's going on? Go ahead.
Is this going to be tied in at all with your local hospitals? The reason I am asking.
Yes.
We just saw a doctor this past week.
Yes.
And every time we have seen her over the past several months, before we start to do the examination, she says, do you mind if I use ChatGPT and record it? And then that is submitted. And she says it's easier than her just keeping records, turning away from us and writing. So we say, fine, do that. But is that going to be tied in with the kind of thing you're talking about?
That's completely different. What you're talking about is actually a program called NABLA, N-A-B-L-A. NABLA is used to transcribe the things that are going on in your doctor's visits. It's completely optional.
Okay.
And then it goes into your electronic health record, Cerner, Epic, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it does not go to ChatGPT. It's not used to train your data. What we're talking about is something one more layer above that. In other words, all your data is going to be in your electronic health record. And if you choose to, you can connect your electronic medical record to ChatGPT and allow ChatGPT then to see those records and remember things about you and talk to you about things. A good example is if you connect your electronic medical record and it says you have celiac disease, the next time you talk to ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm looking for a good restaurant in Panama City, it's going to sit there and say, oh, okay, let me find restaurants that are going to be gluten friendly for you. Mm-hmm. And just remember that. Or if there's a new result, ChatGPT will take that new result, look at your historic results, and try to give you some things to talk about with your doctor. But this is different than you going into the doctor and the doctor using AI to record that. Yeah. That's a completely separate thing. And that, by the way, is locked into the system under HIPAA with very strict privacy rules. So that's not being plugged into ChatGPT.
Okay. Well, HIPAA makes me wonder what kind of protections will we have if we sign on for this? How do we know that it's not going to go out into the free world?
And the answer is, I don't know. And that's the reason why I can't say this is a good or a bad thing.
Gotcha.
Because your health data right now, very specific rules. There's HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A. Right. Not two P's, by the way. Everybody spells it with two P's. It's a medical privacy law. And it is between you and your doctor and the insurers. And once you add a chat bot to this, I'm not sure that HIPAA covers this. And so there's a concern there for me. I got to be concerned about what happens if there's a breach. If the AI company gets hacked, my personal data is there. I'm concerned about that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, what if you get a wrong answer? The lawsuit that we were going to talk about is basically this guy who's a pastor down in Florida was having chest pains and dizziness, and his blood pressure was going up and down. And ChatGPT said, yeah, don't worry about it. Everything's going good. Mm-hmm. And his parishioners are saying, no, you need to go to the hospital. And ChatGPT said, no, these people don't know what they're talking about. Wow. Don't worry about it. And it turns out the guy had a pulmonary embolism, which is not good. Mm-mm. And it's one of those things where the AI gave him something that sounded really good, but it turned out to be completely wrong. In fact, it told him to ignore the people who were telling him the right thing to do. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of concern.
Well, people digest that. We're going to take a break and get an update on news. We got a lot more coming your way, folks. So stay with us as we talk tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And, well, there is so much that we need to cover tonight, including some Facebook news.
Yes, Patrick, you know, you hear us say, you all need to sign up for our blog because the day may come when we just shut down our Facebook page, or maybe they'll shut us down because so many things happen. But there's a little bit of good news coming our way from Facebook.
I'm shocked at this because you've said some really bad things about Facebook recently. Facebook is slowly, not yet, but they're in the process of doing this, launching this free badge that answers the question that a lot of us have been having as we've been dealing with people on Facebook. Am I talking to a person?
Yes.
Is this actually the profile for a human being, or is it a bot?
Yes.
There is this new feature that Facebook is rolling out. You're not going to see it yet. It's coming soon, called Facebook Verified. And it's sort of a check mark badge style thing that proves that you are a real human being, and the people who have it, you can know that that's a real person. How do you sign up? The answer is, I don't know, because they haven't rolled it out to me yet, and they haven't even told us how they're going to roll it out. Hmm. But what will happen is, very likely, you'll open up Facebook on your phone, and you'll get a little thing saying, hey, do you want to verify that you're a human being? And you can say yes or no. And if you say yes, what it'll do is it'll ask you to do this sort of, it's video selfie kind of, but mm-hmm. if you signed up for a mobile driver's license, remember that little thing where you had all the phone in front of your face, you looked, and you looked to the left and looked to the right and up and down. You're just kind of moving your head around. That's basically what you would be doing with your Facebook soon when they mail it. And then when they turn this on, and then they'll check that against what's been posted already in your account. And if you're a human, it'll say good. The whole point for this is, right now with AI, it's so simple for somebody to set up 10,000 fake Facebook accounts. There's nothing to stop it. But if you have to verify with a face, and every face has to be unique, it's going to make it much harder for people to set up fake accounts on Facebook, so that you know if somebody has a verified account, you mm-hmm. sit there and say, okay, that's a real human being. Mm. By the way, do not confuse Facebook Verified with Meta Verified. Those are two separate things. Facebook Verified is just basically said, this person is a real person.
Real person.
It's a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And Meta Verified is, this person is exactly who that person says he be. So as he says he is. So did Steve King? You know it's Steve King.
Mm-hmm.
That's Facebook. That's Meta Verified. And you have to pay extra for that.
Okay.
Just be aware.
Go ahead. But I have one question. If you're saying that this will be the, okay, you take the picture of the front of your face and the side of your face and all that, but can't ChatGPT do the same thing? Because Johnny has done any of a number of pictures where it's pictures that we were facing one way, and she does a meta thing, and we're facing the other way. So why couldn't ChatGPT just say, okay, I'm going to fake the back, the side, the nose, the whatever?
Because when it's doing this, it's actually taking a whole bunch of pictures, and it'll ask you to turn your head. So when you're turning your head, your camera is actually doing 30 frames per second. So when you turn your head, it's actually producing 30 different pictures for that second you're turning your head, or even when you're sitting there holding your face, your face is moving around a little bit. It would be very, very, very expensive and difficult for AI to fake this person verification system.
So this would be in real time. When you sign up, you're going to be proving that you are a real person.
You have to be. Yeah, it can't be recorded.
In your opinion, will this be helpful as we get closer to the election, where people are saying, is this a real person that's telling me this crazy theory, quote, conspiracy theory? I mean, would we be able to use it for something like that?
Once it reaches a critical mass. Mm-hmm. Right now, nobody has this. So every account, you have to assume, okay, is this a person or is it not a person? Mm-hmm. As we get closer to the election, if everybody signs up for this, you can sit there and say, okay, this person doesn't have the Facebook verified checklist. I know that this guy's a bot and I'm not going to trust him.
Because what I typically do is when somebody has some outrageous claim on Facebook, I will click on that person's picture. And when you go and they have three friends and maybe 15 of the very same picture just to fill up their Facebook page, I'm like, really? Yeah, it's pretty obvious you're not a person.
Yeah, you're just a fake bot.
Yeah. So this will be helpful, I think.
Yeah, but I hope so.
Speaking of AI talking to you, did we share with you the story that my brother posted in his blog about Gary?
No.
It was actually a cool experience.
This was wonderful.
We were at the house over the 4th of July weekend, and it was like 100 degrees, and his thermostat went blank, his fancy schmancy thermostat.
Yeah.
And so the next morning was a Saturday, Saturday, the 4th of July. And he says, well, I can't call anyone to Monday. I said, oh, no, we're calling now. There got to be people on staff. And this very pleasant voice came on and said, hello, Lee. What's your problem? And he told the problem. And this friendly voice said, I'm so sorry you have to deal with this. And we fell in love with Gary. And Lee whispers to
Gary's
me.
An AI.
Lee whispers, I think it's a robot. And Gary says, yes, Lee, I am. Oh, that was so freaky. Because he whispered.
In fact, if you want to see that whole story, go to the Stephen Johnny Facebook page, scroll down, and we put a link to my brother's blog where he talked about Gary. And the reason you call him Gary is Gary was the name of... In the recent Superman movie.
But that's what the robot called him. He said that's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could be Jarvis.
Well, anyway, we fell in love with him, so that was something positive. We have to take a break in just a moment. Do you want to sneak something in? Because before you can call it a night, we got to sneak in a couple of listener questions, too. So it's your call.
Yeah, actually, a listener just said something where they've got an iPhone 13 that's gone nuts. Facebook page didn't have a place for me to write comment on stuff.
Yeah.
And the page went to a page where they wanted me to sign in for an account, put in a password, and wanted a cell phone number. My question to the listener is, and everybody else is listening, where did that message show up? If you're in the Facebook app itself, you're on your phone, and you know you're in Facebook, and it's saying, hey, I need you to log in again and put in your password and put in your telephone number to verify that you are, that's actually legit. They're just kind of making sure that you are who you are. If you're in Safari or Chrome or whatever, and you've got a pop-up window that's saying that, that's always fake. That is always fake. That is always somebody trying to phish you and get you to log into the account. So figure out where it is showing up. If it's showing up in the app itself, I would, first of all, one, go and make sure you've got the latest version of the Facebook app. And then you might want to try to log in with the Facebook apps itself, making sure that you are logging out of Facebook, the Facebook app, then log back into the Facebook app. It should yell at you and say, hey, I need you to verify some things, and you can get in that way.
And if you don't have two-factor authentication set up on your Facebook app. You should do that too, because there's some bad people out there. And Beverly, good for you for not, you know, going ahead and giving up information. Smart. Because again, I suspect it was on her Facebook app where she was trying to make comments, and it kept telling him, "Well, we need to know who you are. We need to know your password."
And that's actually a common thing where they'll kind of break part of Facebook just to force you to log back in. Mm-hmm. So some things work, some things don't. But again, you want to make sure, where is it asking you for this information? If you're in the app, that's okay. If you aren't in the app, then, or you're on your web browser, that's a big red warning flag.
Okay.
And yes, two-factor authentication is an extra step, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. We got squeeze in a whole bunch more in the next few minutes, so stay with us. Quick break, and back with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. Bunch of things to get to tonight. And what have we not covered, Patrick?
Well, one of the things you asked me to look into, you sent me this Facebook post from the Panama City News Herald announcing that a niche communication network is coming to Bay County and could stay up and running during a major storm. I looked at it. The post had no details in it whatsoever. So I ended up digging some, and it turns out that it was referring to something called the Gulf Coast Mesh Network. You can find it at gulfcoastmesh.org. And it's basically a volunteer group that's setting up a mesh network across the Gulf Coast. And the idea is actually kind of cool, and it's really simple. You get these inexpensive radios. They're about $30, $60 a piece. And you can send short text messages over long range using basically a part of the spectrum that doesn't require a license. So anybody can do it. And your microphone, your device connects to another device in a neighborhood, connects to another device in a neighborhood, and you create this sort of mesh of repeaters throughout the neighborhood. And the messages that you send on it hop from radio to radio. And because of that, a message can travel across an entire region, not just across the street. The thing was, and after Hurricane Helene, these mesh networks were actually kind of helpful in getting messages out of the devastated areas to areas that still had network and internet and phone. So people were able to send text messages out of Helene to people who had telephones, and the people on telephones then could call for help. The thing is that, let me just manage some expectations here. You really can only send short plain text messages through a companion app, and really only to other people who are also on the network and running the same app. So it's not, you're not going to be using it to send a text message from Panama City to somebody who isn't on the network. And it's not like a phone message where you're sending. It's actually a special message that runs in a special app. And it is kind of, there is a way to keep it private, but I'm going to date myself here, but it's kind of like pulling out a CB radio and going breaker 19. And which is good, but unless other people are listening to channel 19, the message doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
It's kind of cool. You can't use it to make telephone calls. You can't use it to browse the internet, surf the internet, post anything on the web. But if you need to send an emergency message, this might be something to check out. I'll put links in the show notes where you can find out information about this. It's something to check out. It's about $30 to $60 if you're interested in being part of it. It is still very small. When they say it's coming to Bay County, it's really aspirational. There are maybe 250 nodes across the entire Gulf Coast. And I think all of Northwest Florida has maybe 38 nodes in it, which is not going to be enough. So it's still in the early stages.
And I get that it is in the early stages and it would be a small network. But one of the many reasons they're doing this is going back to the days of Hurricane Michael, when just about all communication was knocked out. And even Verizon, for a while, they were completely knocked out. We found it almost impossible to get to Johnny's dad at that point. They're now trying to establish as many communication options for hurricane, nasty storm, power outage stuff as they possibly can. And this is just one of the pieces of that puzzle they're trying to do.
I think it's pretty cool. And remember, the best thing that came out of Hurricane Michael was 5G in Bay County, because they went, oh, you mean all of our phones went dead?
Because that was when Verizon said, oops, sorry, our bad. Okay, we're going to make Bay County one of the first 5G networks in the country.
We're going to make it so you won't leave us. Yeah. Yes. Patrick, a listener asked last week, in a text said, could you please ask Patrick to repeat the Apple laptop under $1,000 that he's talked about in the past?
It is the MacBook Neo, N-E-O. It's either $699 or $799. It's an entry-level Mac, and it is absolutely brilliant. There are a couple things you're going to, if you're $699, you're going to get 8 gigs of RAM in it. It's not a huge amount of RAM. It's really not meant if you're going to be doing video editing or anything really fancy. But if you're just going to be surfing the internet or just doing things online or streaming movies, it's like, this is a no-brainer. It's one of the best computers you can possibly buy. It's the Apple form factor, and it's super lightweight. 13-inch screen, really great resolution. The difference between the $699 and $799 is you get a little more RAM. You also get Touch ID in the on the keyboard, so you can use your fingerprint to unlock your computer. I'd spend the $799. It's just a brilliant computer. It's probably going to be the computer that everybody gets when they're going to college.
Hmm. Well, that brings me to the next question, because Jim says that he has offered to buy a laptop, maybe for a student, but she is anti-Apple. So do you think in a couple of weeks we could talk about some of the things that are out there that are reasonably priced for back to school?
Of course. Yeah, I'll do a back-to-school guide.
And, can students still get a discount? Because I know we talked about that.
Yes, you can. But Apple is cracking down on it. So if you want a student discount, you actually have to prove you're a student. There has to be something like a student ID, or, and all students today have student IDs, or something from your school saying, yes, this person really is a student. You can't just go in and say, hi, I'm a student at Carver High School and be an 80-year-old. they're not going to let you do that.
Well, see, that's a case of people abusing something that was actually a very good perk, and because of the abuse.
I'm the student's uncle, three times removed.
Can I quickly sneak in 773? I sent this screenshot to you. The listener says, Windows has been secretly hiding this info from you. Turn these settings off. Apparently, this is a message that he received. Your PC is watching your every move. Here's how to stop it. Follow this Windows tip. Turn off diagnostics and feedback.
Didn't we talk about this a couple weeks ago?
Well, he says, my question is, I want to know what the three of you think about these posts. Can I trust that the info given is true? Should I change the settings that they recommend? Oh, what do I do?
Patrick, is this the point where I start doing the, you remember when?
Yeah, we haven't done that tonight.
That's right.
Don't do this. Here's the thing. This is what we call engagement bait. It's basically, here are the things they don't want you to know. It's a super safe. And by the way, it's a person you've never heard of telling you this information.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're trying to farm for clicks where you click on it and get the extra info. Or worse still, it could be a bad guy sitting there. Hey, there's something wrong with your computer.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you about it. Click here. And then you click there and it's going to give you a telephone number to call that's going to try to get your credit card information. It's going to have you damage your computer with registry hacks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do any of those things. It turns out I looked into the example that the guy gave. Changing these settings doesn't really do anything. It's not worth it. I mean, Microsoft's not an evil company that's trying to make things slow down for you, and then all you have to do is turn some secret switch on. That's just not the way it works. They didn't hide anything from you, and there's no one who's figured out some super secret thing that, again, there are like a billion Windows users. There's one person who figured this out? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fall for this.
Well, I'm glad they ask, though.
Before we wrap things up, I'd like to touch on something that I sent you about the village of Darien, Illinois, who is buying driver's location data to find speeders.
They are. They've signed up a short project. It's $25,000, and they're using anonymized vehicle GPS data and satellite imagery to constantly monitor traffic speeds on every street in the town. Now, you hear this and go, oh, no, this is terrible. They're going to send me a speeding ticket. And no. This is aggregate data. It's basically saying, okay, I'm going to look at all the streets in the town, and I want to find out where people are speeding or where all the people are so that I can make sure that those roads are paved or whatever. The whole point of this is when you call up the city and say, hey, everybody's speeding down my neighborhood and it's really unsafe. What happens is the police come out, they spend a whole bunch of time and money setting up to say, okay, are people actually speeding up and down the street? And it turns out they never catch the people speeding up and down the street. This is one of those things where they don't have to go out and look. They're just looking at the cellular data and the GPS data and saying, oh, I'm seeing lots of people going fast on the street. Let's go and in the aggregate, let's just try to find a way to slow it down. It could be that we're going to put up those your speed is posters, or it could be that we're going to make the road shorter. We could just put law enforcement out there. They're not tracking you individually. They're looking at the entire city and just looking where the hotspots are so that they can give the resources to it. I think this is a good use of GPS data and AI, but just be aware they are tracking you as you drive around.
On the surface, it sounds like it's real good.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, thank you for staying up late because you're in Houston. And we're going to see you in 1 week.
Yes.
Face to face.
This is going to be great.
Yes. We're going to have a good time. So we're looking forward to that kicking off the month of August. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Enjoy the rest of your time in Houston.
Yeah.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. We'll break for news. More coming up. Stay with us. Someone snuck that in our playlist.
Because happy birthday. We often play songs for people celebrating a birthday. It's yours, and that's you. And I love that song, so there.
That was recorded back in about 1962.
Wow.
And
please establish that's not me singing backup, because I was six.
No. That would, at that time, that was the group that I had at that time. It was recorded for Mercury Records, produced by David Carroll, who's the guy that discovered the Smothers Brothers and recorded a whole lot of the big stars from Mercury Records when they were in Chicago. And the Fee voice you hear there was my girlfriend at that time. Her name was Betty Banneke. And one of the things I was proudest most about that is we did no overdubbing.
Mm-hmm.
If you like it, if you don't like it, whatever you're hearing, that's how the group sounded.
And that was your choice because you knew you're going into the studio to do this song. David Carroll wanted you to do this song, but you decided that you guys were going to do it live.
Yeah. We recorded that at, I'm trying to think if that was, it was either at RCA Studios or Universal Studios.
Do you remember how long it took you to get that cut?
That was back in the day when you didn't have a month to do an album or a song.
Mm-hmm.
We were contracted for 3 hours recording time.
Wow.
Period. And in that 3 hours, we did both sides of the record.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I love about that song, it continually surprises me because it is still being used. We just found out a couple months ago that song was used, a different version of it, but the song I wrote, in an Australian series.
TV series.
And it has also, my version of it, has been released on tons of albums over in Europe.
Well, how about the Bill Dahl CD that he put out for Bear Records about Chicago musicians.
And if you look up on YouTube, this just blew me away.
I know.
There's a video that was done by Ray Flash, who is, I believe Ray is over in Poland, and he put the visuals from a movie called Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. He put those visuals with my song, and at last check, it has had 2.4 million views.
Yes.
Which is just crazy.
And I recall when you wrote to Ray Flash, who at that time was like 17 or 18 years old and mm-hmm. had a garage band. And I think he was probably terrified when he opened the email from you thinking, oh no, he's coming after me. But you were complimenting
I just said, great video.
The video fits perfectly because this is a lady in black leather, skin tight, with a whole lot of boobs going on there. And it was from the movie. If anybody went after him, it would be the people who owned the movie. But apparently it still stands today. And he wrote back to you, and somehow he translated from Polish into English, and it was so sweet because he said, I feel like I just heard from Elvis.
Yeah, I was
this is like, I can't believe it, Mr. King.
He was really nice.
Very nice. Well, you've heard from a lot of people who've recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the stripper who's done her version of it. Satan is his name, mm-hmm. and she's stripping to the song. And then there's the
It's the Holly Golightly version that is used in the Australian series.
Right. There's the San Francisco band that when they do the song Lick for Lick, they do your guitar playing Lick for Lick, which is pretty cool. But in fact, if people want to know a little bit of what's happened with that song after all these years, if you go to our blog and on the search bar, you put Satan is her name, all kinds of fun stuff, including videos of all these people, including the dude in Michigan that did a metal version.
Which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, did a good job.
I'm just blown away by the different directions people decide to take that song, and I'm flattered that they like it.
And I love the fact that there are about a half dozen different seasonal Halloween CDs that have come out, and some of those, there you are next to Boris Pickett from the Monster Mash, and then it's you, Satan is her name, which is pretty cool too. I tell you, if I'd been your manager, we would have been making some money off of this, but we just enjoy the fact that, what about the French guy?
He's
so I'm trying to think. Interesting.
Oh, this is horrible.
But he asked
me. Because I like him a lot, and he just...
he comes to the States sometimes and performs.
Yeah, along with his wife. It's Montel, no. Anyhow, they just... were in Nashville a couple years ago, and they did a really interesting version of it.
And he sent you a copy of the CD, and you're prominently mentioned on the CD, and he signed it for you. But I think before he went into the studio to record it, he did ask you if it was okay.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to find out after he paid for studio
time.
In fact,
he sent me a copy of the rehearsal that they were doing.
Yes, that's right. Well, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Since I'm part of the show, I get to decide these things.
Yeah, you do.
We're going to take a break. We're into the final stretch of the show, and I feel like we just sat down. Because we just sat down.
Well, we just sat down when the show started,
Literally, a minute after 9, plop, we sat down because of the crazy, crazy traffic tonight. What is usually a 30, 35-minute trip was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And sadly, the accident on Lakeshore Drive resulted in a fatality.
And you should still post some of the pictures,
even
though it's late in the show, just to give people an idea of what that was like. Because it was crazy.
I will do that because I also want folks to see something that we would not normally get to see as we were sitting. I mean, not moving, sitting. I looked over to my right and in a field, just adjacent to a kiddie park where a whole bunch of people were playing with their kids, right there in the grass was a family of coyotes.
Yep.
And it was so cool to see the babies just hopping around, and I'm trying to take pictures with that. Man, I want them to be clear, and I'm zooming in. And then the big coyote runs up, and I thought, just steps away are people that if they stepped out in that grass, eek, you don't usually, you know, I know we've seen a coyote or two as we're leaving the station, right, and you see something dart across the street. Now, that's not a dog. That's got to be.
And it was a couple of weeks ago when we were driving home, and a couple blocks away, yes, from our house, we saw a, yeah, big coyote running, yeah, around.
Remember the time I called the police department, the local police, and I told them there was a coyote on the street, and I had been walking our, mm-hmm, dog, and I was scared to death. And we looked out the window, and the officer drove up where we told him the coyote was last seen, and he opened the door of his car, and we're like, does he want it to get in the car with him?
Yeah.
He had both back doors wide open, like, come on in. I don't know whatever happened with that, but that was the weirdest sight.
But the short story is we're living on their land.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're taking more and more of it.
Absolutely. Well, on that happy note, we'll take a break and be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. Speaking of songs from our past, we were both really, really, really surprised.
Yes.
When we found out that that song was on the top 10, how many years ago?
It was number one on this day 50 years ago, 50.
And that was, well, would that be 50? Because it was 77.
No, it was 76. It came out in 76.
Oh, 76? Mm-hmm. Okay.
July 25th, 26th, 27th, this week in July, yeah, it was number one. And then cut to 9 months later, I started my professional broadcasting,
mm-hmm,
on WMRO in Aurora. And I was doing afternoons. Dean Richards was doing mornings, and I was doing, mm-hmm, afternoons. And, of course, that was my theme song. I was so naive at the time. I just thought it was a sweet little song, and I'm on in the afternoon, and I'm going to bring you some delightful entertainment. Uh-huh. And then I found out when I'd go to do appearances, I'd get the wink, wink, and I'm like, well, what's that all about?
I love that misunderstanding so much.
Yeah. I was watching your reaction as we were playing that. Had you heard that song before?
I have. I have, and specifically this song is an Anchorman in,
yes,
2004 when, yes, they do an a cappella version of,
yes,
it.
Yep.
And also the television show Arrested Development,
yes,
yep,
where George, no, yeah, the elder of the Bluth children, yes, sings with his niece, also having the, yeah, same realization on stage when they kind of put it together.
Like, whoa.
So I will never not grin and kind of giggle when that song plays. It just makes me so happy.
Imagine that a year passed before I was at a public event, and I started getting the elbow and the wink, wink, and I'm like, what are they trying to tell me? And to be honest with you, Dean educated me. He said, okay, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 I think I need a new theme song.
And I always loved that song.
I did too.
And two things in doing a little bit of research for that. One, when it was out, they were hired to be the opening act for John Denver.
Oh.
When they wound up appearing with John Denver, their song was number one. His was lower in the charts than theirs was.
Oops.
And there is a real interesting video you can find of an old Merv Griffin show,
mm-hmm,
where John Denver introduces them. And they play live, and they're wonderful. The other thing that I stumbled on, and you were familiar with this, and I'd never seen it. It was from, the mid-late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
CBS did an hour-long Starland Vocal Band show, mm-hmm, and the announcer on the show, kind of guiding you through all of the different scenes they'd be doing, was David Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
So do a search, and it's the complete hour-long show. You can find it on YouTube.
And that was before they won two Grammys for that song.
Yep.
And they had written the song. One of the lead singers, Bill, I want to say
Danoff.
Danoff is what, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing about how mortified I was as a baby radio personality.
Well, and now, as I think about it, I'm remembering back in my days on the Once Big 89.
Yeah.
And I used to do this Saturday night feature that was called Love Jones.
Yes.
And I wound up using Afternoon Delight as kind of a punchline for one of the Love Jones letters that I got. People would write in letters that Jonathan, if you were going to be on a date with Susie Special and you wanted to have something special said, you would send the letter to me. I would read it at a particular time, and you're at wherever you are.
Right,
and you
have like the radio dedication.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you sit in the car.
And hopefully things work out well. And so Afternoon Delight was one of the songs that I used for that, too.
I had to laugh, though, because you mentioned, and I knew the song was featured in the Anchorman movie with Ron Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
We met a guy last week.
Yes.
His last name is Anchorman.
Oh, that's amazing.
A-N-K-E-R-M-A-N-N.
He hadn't made the connection.
No.
And we were...
We said, what a cool name. You should be a broadcaster. And he looked at us like, and I go, Anchorman, it's your name.
Yeah, he shouldn't have looked at you quizzically.
I'm like, what? I said, do you ever see the movie Anchorman? I don't even think he'd seen the movie.
I don't think so.
You need to see that. And he's looking
at me.
It's
a comedy classic. It's
it is.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But I'm like, your name is A-N-K-E-R-M-A-N-N. This is the first time someone has said, oh, are you in the business? If you were in the business, people would say, well, that's a stupid fake name you've got.
Yeah.
And like John Records Landecker, Records really is
truly
my,
is
in
his
my
middle name.
Name.
Yeah.
This dude could say, hey, I'm an Anchorman. It truly is my name.
And with that song in general and the confusion it brought forth, those lyrics do not lend themselves to anything that saucy or suggestive unless you do like a deep dive. If you do like critical thinking and actually like analyze it.
Unless you have a young group of guys walk up to you, wink, wink, elbow, elbow, then you realize, oh.
Okay, I'm gonna sound like this is get off my lawn.
Okay.
Okay. Sadly, too many times, today's lyricists don't have the sophistication to do something like that, where you're saying something that sounds totally innocuous, but if you really pay attention, it's, whoa, there's something going on there.
Right.
Sadly, today is to shake your booty and let me blah, 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 blah.
Right, not using a song as an allegory to suggest something else.
Yes.
I just realized it was this time last week. Remember what we played? Stroking.
No. Oh.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
We should name this 120 segment the blue moments of the show.
Yes.
It may get a little blue.
That's right. And we mean B-L-U-E.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Oh, I'm thinking
the wheels are falling off.
Yeah.
Steve and Johnny after dark.
So I think it's time for us to take a break. News coming up, and who knows what'll happen after that. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yeah, that was the song. In fact, timing being everything, responding to a text from the 847 area code, who said, what dirty song was sung last week at this time?
Well, it was for...
It'd be stroking.
It was to punctuate the news story, because the Home Run Derby had been in the news, and Munetaka Murakami was in the Home Run Derby, and he was interviewed by Pat McAfee, I think.
McAfee.
Mm-hmm. And the video made the rounds. And I was howling because when he was asked, what's your favorite kind of music, without any hesitation.
And no accent, no nothing, he starts singing
Stroking. And we went, huh? And yeah, it was a hit a long time ago. Didn't get a lot of
Clarence
radio.
Clarence Carter, the same guy who did Patches.
Patches, yeah, that got a lot of airplay. Stroking was kind of like a club thing, a bar thing. Right, Jonathan? It was a bar thing.
It was 100% a bar thing. Very popular karaoke, I'm told.
Yep.
And then we learned that it was a favorite karaoke tune of bar owner
Bubba, who the owner, the patriarch of my family.
Your dad.
Yep.
And you got to share this with your mom last Sunday. You talked and you said we played Stroke and Dad's song on the radio.
I 100% shared that. And she went back to the podcast to listen. And I can, because when that song plays, I can mentally picture this because I've been at the bar when I was a kid, short order cooking. Like he'd be bartending and serving the patrons, and I'd be slinging up fries and patty melts. And then, let's have Bubba come up to the stage. And yeah, there he is with his apron on and his bandana. And he was stroking. And it's hilarious. It's just, it's a very fond memory for me.
But now we need to get Murakami to start stroking again. Because sadly, two losses in a row for the Sox. We got to stop this now.
Or we've got to stop their partying when they have a day off. Because they all got out on a boat on Thursday and had a big old time.
I think you all know, I'm a huge White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
As is Johnny. I wanted to throw something at the TV screen. This would have been Friday night. I forget who the player was, but there had been a play, like a ground out or something like that. And there's a guy on second, and it looked as if everything it was over, but he realizes nobody from the Sox is covering third.
Yep.
And he just runs down, and I thought, oh,
you know what?
On.
You wanted to do an Elvis and blow out the TV.
Yeah.
Shoot the
that's
TV.
That's a Little League play.
Pay attention, guys.
And I said to you, because they had a big old time on Thursday, they were just, but they came out in the first inning and scored five runs.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, this is a shoo-in the first inning.
Yep.
And then they just phoned it in for the rest of the next eight innings. And then Saturday was also, I'm glad we didn't get to see Saturday.
And I love this team. And I think they have so much potential.
It worries me.
But you have to stay aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody's been saying, hey, look, they came back after the All-Star break.
Well, and did you see the first time I've seen anybody make a reference to this?
Mm-hmm.
It was an interview Murakami did earlier this week, and he said, yeah, we want to stay really focused and blah, 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 mm-hmm. and hopefully get into the World Series. It's the first time I've seen mm-hmm. anybody from the White Sox mention the World Series.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but is it going to happen in a couple years if they keep going in this direction? Yeah, I think it is.
Well, we just don't want the wheels to fall off, though, because they came back after.
Just don't relax.
No, 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 no. And apparently they all adore each other. I mean, there's this bromance going on among the team, which is really fun to see, but you know, you're getting paid a lot of money. You need to be focused.
Speaking of being focused, I need to be focused, and sadly, I am halfway through. Johnny shared this wonderful, wonderful cupcake with me. In fact, do you have the picture? Because it was
yes. I'm going to put up the picture of you with your birthday cake.
Johnny had a special little birthday.
I got a bunch of doodads. They're records and guitars.
Yeah.
And then I told you on top of the container with the cupcakes that I made, I put the lips with the tongue, which is
from the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Because, for anybody who doesn't know, I have the same birthday as Mick Jagger.
Same year?
July 26, 1943.
Right. Right.
No, I don't have moves like Jagger, but.
You don't have skinny legs like him either.
Nope.
You're used to. But, a listener says, this is from 708 area code. A friend had a DJ company. He would always cause a stir at weddings when he would play Stroken.
Oh, sure.
I bet.
I can see that.
Oh, and here's another. Oh, what dirty song was sung last week?
Yeah, that's
can
the
you
one
play
I just
the
answered.
Racy song from last week? Oh, wow. You people, you are in the right place here. Steve and Johnny play the racy songs, film at 11.
Wow, Steve and Johnny After Dark starts at 1:30 and people are loving it.
Yeah.
Got it. And then there's this sweet listener. I think this was on our Facebook page. It says, Johnny, are you loving Jimothy? I am.
Jimothy
you know
is
Jimothy?
So cool.
I know Jim. He's quite the viral
he's the
sensation
best.
Now.
He
I loved Punch, and then Punch just kind of became...
He grew up.
He became a regular monkey.
And is it The Daily Show that's doing regular things with Jimothy?
Yes, and you got to remember that Jon Stewart hated Punch. He got a lot of mileage out of his distaste for making Punch the monkey a viral sensation. And then along comes Jimothy, and today... because Jimothy is in Washington. Let me get this story real quick.
And what is it? Jimothy was born with like a spine.
Short
spine.
Yes, yeah. It's very, very rare. So he has two long front feet, very stubby tail. He looks exactly like a raccoon would look if you said to a four-year-old, draw a raccoon.
Yeah.
That's how they would draw the raccoon. And
he's kind of been adopted by this woman who feeds him because he's being kind of ostracized.
No, actually,
they
found out that his family actually loves him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
But that was this is a later installment. The previous installment you told me was he'd been kicked out of the family and removed from receiving anything.
He's been featured on Google, Minecraft, Roku, and the governor on Saturday, the governor of Washington State came out and proclaimed that Jimothy was like their mascot for the state. So everybody's showing Jimothy some love. And it's not Timothy, it's Jimothy. The woman saw him in her backyard and then she said, well, he's Jimothy. And I love him. So thank you for asking about him.
Oops, I hear.
I know.
Big Plug Bob is firing up his Zamboni.
No.
Here he comes. So if you'd like to be our last caller, when the blue lights are starting to flash.
Yeah.
If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And as long as you haven't won any goodies from this here radio place in the last 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first, you could win some goodies. And do we want any pithy comments for my birthday? I don't know.
Nah.
Nah. If you can make a fist.
Hold your phone.
Yeah.
Because we ask that you not call us on your speakerphone because it does sound kind of echoey. But if you can make a fist and hold your phone and speak to us, we would love to speak to you. And you could win something special from our WGN prize closet. I'm kind of distracted because I'm putting up a picture of your birthday cupcake and you. So that's actually a real cupcake. That's not me in the picture.
Is the picture up there yet?
No. I'm trying to do too many things at once, so you have to forgive me. I still haven't put up the pictures of our drive to work. We got to do those,
too. You got to do that.
Because there were a lot of cool pictures of the lagoon and the boats.
Yeah,
and the
things you never get to take a picture of because we're actually stopped so you could take a picture.
For about 90 minutes on Lakeshore Drive. And if you were stuck in that... sadly, we both said it has to be a really serious accident for them to close all the lanes.
Sadly,
it was a fatal accident.
Was.
Yeah.
Okay, we will take a break. And if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200, that is the number, and we will see what happens. So stick around at WGN Radio. Nope.
No, you can't stay here.
Nope.
I almost thought the wheels were going to fall off in the final few minutes of the show. Things started happening here, and I was busy posting the picture of you with your birthday cupcake, and I see that a whole bunch of people have texted in with birthday wishes for you, Steve.
Happy birthday,
Steve. Thanks for bringing back the show, or thanks for bringing the show back. Dave from Chicago wishing Steve a happy birthday, and you sound awesome. Keep going.
Well,
happy birthday, buddy. Thank you so much, you guys. All right.
Some very nice messages. And Johnny has posted on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. She posted the birthday picture with the little guitar.
Mm-hmm. Doodad.
I love that guitar.
The little doodad.
Yeah.
I want to answer. Two people wanted to know when they could get the podcast with Alice Wallace that was our guest tonight. You will get that sometime later on Sunday.
Probably later Sunday-ish.
But remember, you don't hear the music in the podcast.
Right.
Not by our choice. It's just the rules of Spotify and Apple Music and all those people that carry.
Because they all have different, this has nothing to do with WGN, has a lot to do with all of the different streaming sources have different rules for music licensing.
Yeah.
So rather than jump through all of their silly hoops, we do videos, and the videos will be posted within the next couple of weeks, and we'll let you know exactly when that's going to be. But also, if you weren't taking copious notes for Patrick's technology segment tonight, don't worry about that, because that'll probably go up within about the next 24 hours sometime.
Well, we're going to celebrate a birthday, so maybe sometime on Monday you'll get to that.
Okay.
I've got things planned for your birthday.
Oh.
I sound like I've got things planned. I know. I would be scared, too. Okay. Since it is your birthday, you get to randomly choose our last caller.
Okay, I will...
Setting the tone for your birthday. Okay. How's that?
Since there are two of us, I am going for number two. And number two appears to be Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Linton, Indiana, far southern Indiana.
Oh, wow.
Originally from Bolingbrook, so I listen to you guys on the stream every night now.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
For my little taste of home.
Oh, well, good.
Correct.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Linton is south of Indianapolis?
It is actually south of Terre Haute.
Oh.
We're about 45 minutes south of Terre Haute. I'm in Terre Haute tonight. Because I had to visit my mother at her nursing home. She almost died tonight.
So dear.
You guys have cheered me up so much with your music, with Alice Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You were a godsend tonight. I really needed this.
Oh, I hope things turn out well.
Well, she's better. She's
stable.
She's not recovered, but, she's stable. Yes,
oh, good.
Very much.
Good.
You guys just saved my night.
Oh, golly. Oh,
thank you. You know, every time I think about driving through Terre Haute, I recall because we did it for years, driving down to Panama City Beach or coming back.
Okay.
And Terre Haute, there is a speed trap.
Yes.
On I-65. The speed limit goes, I want to say it goes from 65 down to 55, then 45, and then maybe,
and remember,
50. And
when the state troopers started driving around in Mustangs or Chargers?
Yes, both.
Yeah. So you wouldn't know.
Unmarked cars.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about the one in a town called Fowler. But before we moved down here, I got caught, and I got $100-some ticket at that time going through Fowler.
I thought you were going to say you were driving 100 miles an hour.
I did, too. I was like, whoa.
Who knows? Maybe I was. Maybe that's why you gave me the ticket.
My dad was driving through that very spot. He said to my mom, why is this man tailing me? And he tailed him for like 30 miles, and... The state trooper was not happy when he got my dad's attention. My dad said, I thought you were trying to intimidate me.
My goodness.
Because I think, was your dad listening to the radio or something? And he didn't hear the siren.
He didn't hear the siren, and he kept telling my mom, he's on my tail. He's on my tail. Yes. Yeah.
Did he have his Mars lights going?
No, he did not. It was really one of the first plainclothes cars that we became aware of. And so then when we started making the trip, we were like, you got to be on your P's and Q's. Because, sadly, we would always drive the speed limit because we would come off of working all night long, and you're tired, so you want to stay alert. And then people would get behind us and flash their lights because we're not driving 80.
Yeah.
You know, and they're flashing their lights.
But we would be in the right lane.
Right lane,
so if people wanted to pass us, they got the left lane. Have a nice day.
So did family take you from Bolingbrook to Indiana?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Kind of, yes. And a 40% lower
Yeah.
40% lower, what's the phrase?
Taxes.
Standard of living. Yeah. Everything's 40% less.
Yeah, I bet your property taxes are a whole lot better than they were in Bolingbrook. Yeah.
In Bolingbrook. You got it. Yep. I think it was in the thousands, 3,000, 4,000. Up there, and that here it's 700 something.
Oh, that's nice. So, because when Steve lived in Bolingbrook, there literally it was a cornfield with a McDonald's, and old Chicago was out there.
I moved to Bolingbrook in roughly 1978 and was there till about 1982-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And literally, right next to the McDonald's was a cornfield.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And you'd have to go.
Believe it or not, we're down here now because my husband retired from corporate McDonald's.
Oh.
Right about the time when they decided to move out of Oak Brook and make that horrible move to Chicago, to downtown Chicago, is when he retired.
Well, do you remember in Bolingbrook where the, I believe it was a Walmart that was on 53?
Still there.
Just before you.
Still there.
Okay. When I first moved to Bolingbrook in place of that Walmart, that was cornfield.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I lived in Aurora during that time, and we were excited when we got Fox Valley Mall. It was like, whoa, we don't have to drive very far.
That was high tech.
That was big. It was a gorgeous mall, too.
Well, you're talking about my stomping grounds because I miss old Chicago so much. It was so much fun. As a kid, and I worked at the AAA Chicago Motor Club Travel Agency across the street from Fox Valley Mall. So for many years. I'm just homesick. You guys relieved my homesickness.
Well, thank you. Didn't they, talking about old Chicago, didn't there used to be a Bob Evans restaurant?
Yes.
Right around old Chicago?
I think there still is. I think the Bob Evans is still there.
Oh, there was a Perkins Cake and Steak. Do you remember that? Perkins Cake and Steak.
Yes.
They changed. Who did they become?
But that was a good restaurant.
I don't know who they. Right.
One of our first dates, I was out in Bolingbrook with Steve, and things were so tight that we actually took a.
I had one of these. It was a little globe that you kept pennies in.
And we took it to Steak and
to the Perkins Steak and Shake. And I opened it up, and we had enough money to go and get dinner.
At Perkins Cake and Steak. It was like we were stacking up all these coins, going, okay, $6, $8. Yay, we can go eat.
Too bad you don't have those pennies today. Pennies will be valuable soon.
How about it? Well, we're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt. And thank you so much. You just made our night. You're the perfect cherry on top of tonight's show, Kathy. We appreciate your listening and for checking in. And your mom will be in our thoughts, too. Thank you so much. Wow.
Boy, we have run out of time. A full show next week. Tom Appel will be joining us, and we'll have some other surprises.
Yes. I've got some surprise. You got frosting on your upper lip.
Well, and I'll probably have more.
That's your nose. Your lip is a little farther down.
Yeah, but
a little farther down.
Come here.
Okay. Our thanks to Jonathan and to Bob, keeper of the big plug, and Ron and Dimitri.
And Alice Wallace.
And Julian, who came in here with his girlfriend Erica so he could do the videos of Alice for us tonight. And thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you right back here next week on WGN.